I can't compete with you physically, and you're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
I accept.
Good. Then pour the wine. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemy's? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision, then?
Not remotely. Because Iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows. And Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going! Where was I?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. And you must have suspected I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong. So you could have put the poison in your own goblet, trusting on your strength to save you, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've also bested my Spaniard, which means you must have studied. And in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal, so you would have put the poison as far from yourself as possible, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to trick me into giving away something. It won't work.
It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is.
Then make your choice.
I will. And I choose... What in the world can that be?
What? Where?
Oh, well, I could have sworn I saw something. No matter. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned. Ha ha, you fool. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia. But only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
All that time it was your cup that was poisoned.
They were both poisoned. I spent the last few years building up an immunity to iocane powder.
And now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
The best line in that entire thing is when, it has worked! You've given everything away!
The best movie ever. Why, hello, it's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. My friends, my amigos, my chums, my compadres, my companions, draw near that ye might be entertained with stories of comedy. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Friday, and welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. 970-503-733-2970. You want to join us today with your comments, your clarifications, your two cents, your conventions, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. And I tried to cut that speech down, and there's just no way to edit it any further. Really, it's just one of those things you just have to let it roll all the way through. There's no way to remove anything from that speech. It's flawless. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. Entire movie just made out of pure, distilled, concentrated genius. All right, it's 503-733-2970 today, 503-733-2970. You want to join us electronically via the internet, so you can do that as well. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can also email everybody else on the show, Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. AM. Again, the phone lines are open today, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Why, hello, thanks for coming by. Here's what, we'll get to all of this. There's a huge pile of things that people have been sending us all day. We've got, there's one email in particular, one news story, that I know Tim has already gotten several times today. People, I've got probably 15, 16 different emails about it this morning. So we'll talk about that in a second. It does involve something from the ocean floor that's going to eat your bones. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Let me just say this, finally. Oh, really? Is that, are we already getting Transformers calls again today? Well, that's good. Then I'll save my Transformers observation. I'll do it when we get these Transformers calls. What are we doing today? We got CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano, who will be joining us today. God damn, that guy's great. You know, we don't get a chance to... we don't talk to him nearly as often as we ought to. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano today about Rudy Giuliani, who's apparently just either raising money hand over fist. I thought that Fred Thompson at this point would have been the guy who's out front with the fundraising, but apparently not. I guess Giuliani's in the lead. So, which means that in terms of absolute... what do they say? What's that phrase? In terms of absolute dollars... it is Giuliani and Hillary right now in front with the fundraising, which is just fantastic. It's just sort of like this Gamera versus Zegra kind of a thing that's shaping up. And then the Gamera versus Zegra thing, by the way, Hillary Clinton is Zegra, in case you're curious about that. Jim Roop is going to be joining us. Apparently the heat is killing people in death. 127 degrees in Death Valley. Bam! In your face.
That's why it's called that.
I didn't know it would be so hot in here in Death Valley.
Light Valley. It's Death Valley.
Long, happy, cherub-faced existence valley. It's just like when Dave Zinn was trying to get me to go to Tootle a couple weeks ago, and he, Rick, it's not good white, it's great white. So Jim Roop will be here to talk about it. Now I feel like the whole story is just pointless about all this heat in Death Valley. You know, in my head, I don't really know what Death Valley looks like, but in my head, I bet I picture it the same way you do. Bleached out cracked salt flats with one of those skulls in the foreground. One of those, like, yak skulls or whatever.
Oh, the cattle skull?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what Death Valley looks like to me.
Oh, there's like a red tinge in the sky.
Totally. I don't even... It could bear no resemblance at all. You know, my mom lived there for a while when she was growing up. For not too very... My mom, during one of her... during her Tom Joad upbringing, my mom lived in Death Valley for just, by the way, just long enough. My mom lived in Death Valley just long enough to hold it over me anytime I complained about the heat growing up. Yeah, I lived in Death Valley. You shut your mouth. Anyway, so we'll talk to Jim about that. More about Al Gore's kid who got busted for driving a Prius full of drugs. What else? Steve Kastenbaum is going to join us today. Not that I really care about this Live Earth thing going on. But I don't know, there are probably people who do. It's just another chance for me to make fun of Radiohead. So we'll talk about the Live Earth concert with Steve Kastenbaum from New York City. Scott Daly will join us from FilmFeverRadio.com, although to be really brutally honest, I don't even know what he's reviewing this week, if anything. Is anything opening today? Harry Potter's not opening until next week, right?
That's correct, yes.
I don't think anything is opening today. That Ratatouille movie. Now, that's already open, though, isn't it? Isn't the new Pixar film already open?
It is.
I'm going to go see that at Cinetopia. I got the my wife and I discovered we had some passes for Cinetopia we haven't used. I found them sitting in an envelope the other day. So I'm going to use those. I'm going to go see that new Pixar movie. That is really, that is exactly what Cinetopia is made for, by the way. It's one of those Pixar movies. So I'm going to go see that. I don't even know if anything's opening today. So Scott Dowdy will join us for, you know, no readily apparent reason. What else? Well, as I mentioned, an exciting new sea creature that's going to kill us all. Oh. And... well, we may or may not be speaking to Mr. Vanilla Ice today. We'll get some clarification from Scotty J on that.
Rob.
Rob. I'm sorry. Mr. Rob. Rob Ice. Rob Van Ice. So we'll talk to Scotty J about that here in just a few. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You know, if he existed today, if he were to come out now, you know, or if he had just been... slightly more hip with the kids, they'd make some sort of Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor about him. You know that they ought to. That guy ought to put out, okay, I'm telling you right now, vanilla ice cream something or other, blah, blah, blah. That would totally sell.
Ben and Jerry's have not hit him up right now.
But they could do it now. He'd probably sell that for very little at this point. They could make money hand over fist with that. I'd buy it. All right. Well, let's get these calls, then we'll do introductions and talk about some other things. Hi, sir, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with a random, this is what it says on the screen, random Transformers call.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm waiting until after your bet expires to show solidarity.
Thanks.
But
thanks so
I was
much.
Driving I-5 southbound just north of Salem. There's a gravel quarry right off the road, There's a lime green dump truck with a purple Decepticons logo painted on it. I don't know how long it's been there. But
Where?
Just north of Salem, on the just heading I-5 southbound. You can see it on the right-hand side.
That is very cool. That is badass. I do like the Transformers as a toy and as a cartoon and as a concept. It's just a bad movie, but I appreciate the fact that there's a dump truck painted like a Decepticon.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
I got to get back to work, Rick. Great show. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. There's Mike, who's not seeing the movie out of solidarity. God bless you, sir. Every dollar we deny Michael Bay helps a little bit. The bet, of course, and we won't know the outcome of the bet until Monday morning.
And by the way, I got an earful from Joni. She was just like picking at me for an hour about Transformers, about why you were being so mean about them and how much she loved the movie.
Well,
I'm like, I don't care.
Whatever.
I don't want to see it.
I mean, yeah, it's not like I can stop her from liking it. Not yet. Someday when I run the country, I'll be able to, but not now. Whatever. I mean, some folks like anchovies. I hate to start off. I don't want to start off the whole show by. I don't want to bring negative energy into the show. I'm just saying. Now look, I'll tell you right now. I will totally cop to the fact that clearly, I mean, it had a huge opening. Clearly, I cannot choose the goblin in front of me. It had a big opening. It had the biggest 4th of July opening ever. So obviously, there's a whole bunch of people who are interested in seeing it. Hell, I went to see it. I mean, I went to see it. I just didn't want to pay to see it. So, you know, and it's not like, you know, Stephen King has this phrase about, like, how you don't earn points by being out of touch with your own culture or whatever. And it's not that I'm out of touch. I mean, being out of touch with pop culture would mean that I didn't know why people wanted to see it, or why I would have no idea why the Transformers, you know, were important, or I would not understand the desire to see it. Clearly, I had the desire to see it. I just didn't want to give any money to Michael Bay. It's just not a very good film. That's the whole thing. And it's not like you can't make big, dumb movies that are fun and well executed. It's just, this is a big, dumb movie that's poorly executed. So, it's alright. Maybe I don't get the existential humor out of a robot peeing on John Turturro, one of our finest actors. It's so sad. That, I think, was the nadir of that film experience for me. Just sitting there watching one of the greatest actors of the last 15 years be urinated on by a wisecracking robot. A bunch of fat people in Winnie the Pooh shirts, and I decided to be laughing.
I don't think you're ever going to be able to get past that.
No, it's just terrible. Well, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I mean, look, and this is coming from a man who owns a DVD called Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Okay? I mean, seriously. Hi, Bill. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
How you doing today, man?
I'm rolling, brother. What can I do for you?
Just a quick word about Death Valley. You know, it's not all just dry and desert and
there's happy parts. Yeah.
There's very happy parts. Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually lived there for 2 years. But the key is, you can't go... before September, October, or after May in the year, because it gets way too hot.
So as long as you go between like October and April, it's a dandy place.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a place called Darwin Falls. It's just it's magical. It's like an oasis.
Darwin Falls. Forgive me if I decide not to spend a lot of time in a place called Darwin Falls inside of Death Valley.
Don't ask me where that name came from.
I think we all know exactly where Darwin Falls came from, located in Death Valley, sir. I don't really know that there's an X factor there about how they named it.
It really could be, but I had no mishaps happen.
Here's the thing. If you're the type of person who dies at Darwin Falls, which is a place you've decided to visit while living in Death Valley, you and everybody who shares your genetic line ought to be taken out and exterminated. Okay?
You're just asking for it there, I guess.
It's true. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, man.
All right, there you go. What else are we doing here? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I need a little love today. It's actually kind of funny. You're talking about this the Transformers movie, and then it also ties loosely into what I'm about to do today.
Okay.
Do you watch Robot Chicken at all? There was an early on episode had this funny freaking thing about Transformers where Optimus Prime kept having to run off and go to the bathroom, and it turns out he's got prostate cancer. And they did this whole ridiculous spoof on him going to the doctor and, you know, getting checked out.
Right.
And he gets told he has prostate cancer. So that's kind of funny. And the tie-in to me is I need your prayers because I am literally en route to get snipped, to get the vasectomy. So I need good Emerson Nation.
I think it's fantastic, by the way, that you were able to tie that in by Transformers via an episode of Robot Chicken.
I'm trying for it.
That really is what makes this audience special. That is this whole audience, you'll forgive the phrase, in a nutshell, sir.
I'm working for you, buddy.
All right. Do you already have children, or do you just wish to avoid them?
Oh heck yeah, avoiding children. At all costs.
God bless you, sir.
God bless me,
We need more people like you. If on the way, if you can convince anybody, what city are you from?
I'm over in Happy Valley.
All right. If you can convince anybody else, you know, to avoid children as well, you just
I'm working it.
So there you go. You know, Scott Daly, actually, our film reviewer, he had that a while back, and I understand that it's sort of grapefruits for a couple of days, but after that, everything sort of returns to normal.
Don't even say that. You know, I've heard there are the horror stories, but a lot of my buddies have had it, and they all have good word on it. So I'm hoping I'm one of them.
Now, my friend Trey had it done, and he said just a couple of days with a bag of iced peas on your Johnson, and you know, your jock rider.
Stocked up yesterday.
Yeah, so there you go. I think you just sit around and, you know, you just get yourself a stack of DVDs and some ice, and I think you're good to go.
That's right. Scotch up, and yeah, there you go.
All right. I would like to thank you on behalf of the Rick Emerson Show for not breeding, sir. No, I mean that. Seriously.
My seed does not need to be spread, buddy.
I'm with you on that. Thank you, my friend.
God bless.
God bless you. There you go. And, you know, there's the irony
I'm
right there.
I'm with you on that. That sounds kind of mean.
No, no,
you
no.
Sound like a reasonably intelligent man.
Well, okay, I understand that. It's not that his seed doesn't need to be spread. What a weird phrase that is. Because I picture a farmer, one of those hand crank things that just sprays the seed everywhere in the field. It's not that, like, his seed specifically doesn't need to be spread. He did sound like a smart guy. But because he doesn't want kids, he is right to avoid having them. Because, you know, most people who don't want kids, and you can tell because they're always at Lloyd Center punching their kids in the face while they're waiting for Frogurt, those people have tons of kids. So right there... Right there, kids, you just saw it. If you were listening just now, you witnessed idiocracy in action. That guy who sounded reasonably intelligent, sounded like a smart guy, not having kids ever. Your idiot neighbor has 12 kids. All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Phelan, sporting a new hair color today.
I am.
I like it a lot.
Thank you. I'm kind of happy with that. I was kind of over the whole pink British thing.
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, you make the pink hair work, but that looks really nice. And I think it's a combination of that, and I don't know, maybe it's that and the outfit or just something, but it looks really good. I like it. It's kind of a darker, like a little more subdued color.
Yeah, I kept a little bit of the pink in, so it's like a little pink and blonde and
I dig
brown.
It. All right.
Thanks. Yeah, did you ride your bike today?
I did indeed.
Oh, man, how hot was your ride in? It was so humid when I came
in. There was a little bit of a breeze, and also a lot of my ride to work is downhill, so I get a lot of the breeze going on. On the way home, though, it just sucks because it's all uphill. And, you know, there's mornings like this where the reason I bicycle is not because I really enjoy it, because I don't really enjoy exercise. As I always say, I don't enjoy exercise. I enjoy having exercised. There's a difference. I enjoy getting to work and being like, aha, I've done it, you sons of bitches. But there are mornings like this when you walk outside, and even at like 8 o'clock in the morning, it's so crisp and clear and blue and just the sun is already beaming down that you can look forward in your head and you can see what type of afternoon it's going to be. And you already know that you are going to hate yourself when, like, 4 or 5 o'clock rolls around, and if you are driving. Because, A, you're going to be like, well, I could be biking in the beautiful whatever. And the plus, Friday, traffic jam, rush hour traffic, and you're either going to be sitting there having to run the air conditioner and watching your gas go down, or sitting there with no air conditioning, like, you know, because we have a truck and a car. The truck has no AC. My wife takes the car to work, so if I had driven today, it would have been in a truck with no air conditioning. I would have been sitting in rush hour traffic in like 9 million degree weather with no air conditioning, wishing I was dead, hating everybody around me. And so, screw it. So it is. It really is worth it. It is actually just better to bicycle in every way.
So it wasn't for the children?
No. I don't care about the children. I was encouraging that kid to get his Johnson or his whatever unhooked. So
the special children, Rick.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. Why not? As Bunny Yeager would say. Sure. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
A man is knocked unconscious by a belly flop at Punch Bowl Falls.
Well done.
A mad gunman opens fire inside Vegas' MGM casino. Meanwhile, Sin City gears up for 7707.
Where? Who does?
Sin City.
Oh, Vegas. I never even thought about that.
Yes.
That's got to be the best place in the entire world to be on 777. Mm-hmm. Vegas. God bless it. All right. Well, we got some stuff to talk about, and then we got the... Scotty, I'm looking here. Is this a fake call? The first one you put up there? Really? Okay. Scotty claims that this is a man. He is identified as being Italian. I think he means Italian. Italian guy named Chick? Really? Okay.
Well, we'll find out.
Hi. Hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, yes. His first name is Chick. Last name's Gooley, so there you go, man. What do you want?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes you get guys who call up and they want to give themselves a wacky title on the air.
No. I've taken Flock Forward for almost 30 years, so I'm used to it, man. It's cool,
all right.
You know?
Cool. Well, what's up, brother?
Well, I just want to... Hey, I came out here and I heard you bashing Michael Bay, man, and nobody likes that guy. I mean, he's just a Hollywood punk. Is he responsible for Con Air?
I'm sorry. No, I think Con Air is that.
He has something to do with it. Jerry Bruckheimer.
Is it Michael Bay or is it Bruckheimer or is it possibly
both?
I think
they're both connected.
Yeah,
you know?
It's possible. Yeah.
Oh, that's the bane of my existence.
There was this holy or unholy triumvirate for a while. There was Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer, and a guy named Don Simpson.
Don Simpson, hey, he came to visit Stallone once. I don't know. He came to New York and Philadelphia to get the feel of Stallone. He was like Stallone's lobster for a long time, man.
Yeah.
He coked himself out.
Totally, yeah. Simpson, yeah, he managed to kill himself a few years ago, so we're not subjected to any more of his films.
Now we got two-thirds left of that crop circle, I understand.
It's true. Michael Bay, this is a good time for us to give a shout-out to a friend of ours. We have a friend of ours named Don, Don Taylor, who wrote a great review of Transformers, which, by the way, was Farked last night. They linked to it on Farked.com, which is really one of the highest honors you can receive in the world. But she had the best analysis of Michael Bay, and she was noting that, and I was repeating this yesterday, that you know, sociopaths have this tendency. The deal with sociopaths, if you ask like a shrink, sociopaths can't really feel human emotion, but they know how to fake it. Like they've observed people and they can fake human emotion. Well, Michael Bay doesn't really know how actual people act in movies or what a real, like, a good movie should look like, but he's watched enough that he can sort of do a bad impression of real human actions in movies.
And can you repeat who gets pissed off by a robot?
I have to bleep that, unfortunately. No, we were talking about John Turturro.
Oh,
who was,
sorry, okay.
That's okay. Yeah, John Turturro, who was Knish in Rounders. He was the guy who, gets the inside information in Quiz Show.
He was the schmata in the Coen Brothers' best film, Miller's Crossing.
In Miller's Crossing. Look into your heart! Yeah, that was him.
There we go.
All right, excellent. Are you a new listener, sir?
Yeah, man. And I heard that I had a friend who listened like years ago, 10 years ago, way back in. You're still in Portland, right?
Yes, I am, sir.
That you said you did the best non-Mark Hamill impression of the Aunt Lone, Aunt Beru, or what they were talking about.
Oh, the, yes. No, my only Star Wars impression is where Mark Hamill goes,
That's it, okay.
It's where he was, I was going to go into the Taji station and pick up the power converters. All right, dude, we got to run. Thank you so much. We're so over time. I would love to sit here and be entertaining. Apparently, I'm hilarious. So thank you, Chick. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling, my friend. That is Chick, a new listener, who is very into my impression of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, saying he wants to go pick up power converters at the Taji station. There you go. Why, hello. Now I have no time to talk about the Octo Squid. That's okay. Or what's in this bag?
Are they copies of Independence Day for Tim and I?
Or an Octo Squid?
No. Well, never mind then.
Oh.
It doesn't matter what's in the bag then.
Oh. It's an Octo Squid?
What's in the bag?
No. A dead Octo Squid.
Is it more porn?
It's Octo Squid porn. Well, it doesn't matter then. Let's take a break. Back after this, still on the way, we have Dick Iuliano, Steve Kastenbaum, and Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. Now you're all... Now I'm not even going to open the bag now. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, CNN Radio correspondent Dick Iuliano, Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com, who will be reviewing the new Pixar film, by the way. It is Ratatouille, apparently. I mean, although it's almost review, but what do you need to know? It's a Pixar film. Like, there's ever been a bad Pixar movie ever. You know, Pixar is the most successful movie production company in the history of filmmaking, by the way. A little factoid you can pass along to your friends. Another way that Steve Jobs pones you, as the kids say. It's 503-733-2970. We'll also talk Vanilla Ice here in a minute. We'll answer the magical question. What's in this bag? It's nothing for you, sir.
Oh.
It's not an Independence
Day. That's an enormous bag, though.
Yes, it is.
No.
Hello. Yeah, thank you. is going to go pick up power converters and photography. And let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City, the one and only Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you? How's your week? Is it, have you come down off your hot dog eating high, my friend? Are you ready for the weekend?
I'm back down to an appropriate level of excitement, yes.
What does a Steve Kastenbaum weekend look like? Are you an athletic type? Do you stay inside? Do you bicycle? Do you rock climb? Do you go play the oboe somewhere? What is it you do?
We're going camping and hiking this weekend.
Now, here's a really dumb question because I don't really know the lay of the land out there. So you live in, now do you live in the city, as they say, or do you live in an outlying area?
I live in Brooklyn, which is one of the five boroughs that make up New York City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Kelly Osbourne just moved to Brooklyn, from what we know. So if you see her, give her a big lingering hug for me.
Oh, geez. You know, more and more of these stars, so-called stars, keep moving to my borough, and it's really annoying.
See, that's the thing I love about, that's the great thing. New York City is, and Portland has this same kind of vibe, and it's this sort of like the, who are these people moving into my neighborhood? Who are these people? And it's not, you know, and it, here's the thing. There's two versions of that statement. A lot of times, in fact, most of the time in America, when you hear someone using the phrase, who are these people moving into my neighborhood? It's usually someone like my Mormon in-laws complaining about people who, let's just say, don't look like them moving in.
Right.
But I can tell from you, and this is the way Portland people use it too, it's exactly the opposite. It's, who are these rich people moving into my neighborhood? Screw them. Get out.
I've been here my whole life. I'm the reason this neighborhood is so nice. Ruining it. You're driving up the prices, and now I can't afford to live here anymore.
Gentrification! Let me just say this, and I know that this sounds like a total cliche. It sounds like a dumb tourist thing to say, but I will say this. I had the best bagel I have ever had in my entire life in Brooklyn several years back. I mean, it's just, and I mean, you know, it's not like I'm some bagel aficionado, but having eaten in a lot of places around New York City, the different boroughs, that place, man, it was called, Bagel Brothers or Bagel Dude or something, and it was just some guy, some tiny hole-in-the-wall shop, and it was a bagel as transcendent experience. It really was unbelievable.
You would definitely have the best bagels of your life in Brooklyn. I think it's in the water, because something happens when a lot of these families, you know, they over the years move out to Long Island and open up bagel shops out there as they, you know, migrate to the suburbs. And the bagels just don't taste the same. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, it's
Brooklyn.
Funny you say that it's in the water, because when I was watching Entourage, I don't know, a season or so back, the character of Turtle was talking about how he was ordering pizza or bagels or something from Queens, and he was having them like FedEx or something to, like, you know, Beverly Hills or whatever, where they were living. And the guy's going, well, I don't understand. Why are you having it, you know, why are you having bagels, you know, but out here? And anyway, this long discussion ensues, and then they come to the conclusion that there actually is special water in Queens, and that's why the bagels are so good.
I'm telling you, this has to be the case. It must be the 100-plus years of buildup on the pipe delivery system in our water that puts certain minerals in it that just react positively with the flour and the egg that make our bagels spectacular.
No, it is fantastic. One of the whenever I go to New York, I always, it's not that I fast, I just eat really lightly for about 10 days beforehand, because I know it is just one big bacchanalian consumption while I'm there. I mean, if I lived there, I would weigh 300 pounds and then I'd be dead.
We have a lot of people like that.
And it's nothing, you know, nothing ever closes, everything is open, everything is huge, and it's, you know, around the corner there will be a guy selling you a donut the size of a tire for like 40 cents.
All those big guys you used to see in The Sopranos, you know where they're from? Brooklyn.
Totally. It's so anyways, there's nothing but starch and goodness out there.
Yes.
All right. So speaking of consumption, blah, blah, blah. So there's this Live Earth thing, which I guess, well, they canceled it in Rio, right? It's not happening in Rio anymore.
It's back on now. A judge overturned the ruling, and now it's back on. But who knows how many people will show up now.
Here's a really dumb question. Every time I start an interview with that band, the Arctic Monkeys, that British band, and they were talking about how, like, they're not playing, and they said, well, what is the point of doing this global warming thing when, like, the stage lighting, it would be enough to power a house for, like, a year and a half.
Right.
I mean, it's not like I'm trying to be a negative Nelly about it, but, I mean, it does seem like there's a little hypocrisy here. Or is this some concert where everything is, like, green? Is it some, like, earth-friendly concert somehow?
I'm not sure what they mean by it being green. Did they buy carbon credits to offset the electricity that's being used in all of these concerts? Because certainly, every single thing that you're seeing at these arenas, you know, they're not green, you know? I mean, you go to Giant Stadium, the lighting that's there at Giant Stadium, those are all union jobs, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
They're using the same old lighting that they've used, you know, for the past couple of decades. So I'm wondering if what they did was purchase the right number of carbon credits to offset the amount of electricity they'll be using for these concerts.
I don't know. I got to wonder if Bob Geldof is angry that he didn't trademark calling concerts like live something.
He is, actually. I read somewhere that Bob Geldof is, I don't know if he's jealous or what, but he was not happy with the Live Earth thing.
Well, because he had Live Aid, which sort of set the stage for all of this. I mean, I guess you could do the concert for Bangladesh, but there was Live Aid, and then there was Live 8, which I guess he was somehow involved in, and then there's Live Earth.
Right.
And it is one of those things that I do believe has just become so omnipresent that probably the vast majority of people, certainly the vast majority of Americans, can't even keep these concerts straight anymore.
Farm Aid, Amnesty International, I went to those two.
Yeah, I don't even know, does Farm Aid still happen? I'm not trying to knock it, I'm just saying I don't even really know if it still takes place. It's just become one of many.
Not sure.
Well, so there
There's a good lineup here in New York, though.
Well, my question was going to be, are you going? But I guess not, because you're going to be out and about in the great outdoors. Who's playing in New York?
The Police, the reunion of the Police, the Dave Matthews Band, they've got John Mayer, well, Kelly Clarkson, Ludacris is going to be there, Kanye West, Alicia Keys, Roger Waters.
Really?
Yeah. They dug him up. So, there's a really good show at Giant Stadium. Actually in New Jersey, and there's a New Jersey assemblyman who's really upset with this, that every time there's a big event like this with worldwide exposure, they always say, the New York concert at the Meadowlands, and it's really in New Jersey, so he wants to write a law that requires promoters who put on shows like this at the Giant Stadium Arena, that they have to say it's in New Jersey.
That's so great. See, you know, and look, we can make all the jokes we want about New Jersey, but you got to take pride in where you live, you know? I admire guys who do that.
Yeah.
We have obviously we're in Portland, but there's a Washington town nearby, Vancouver, Washington, is just over the river. And there's an amphitheater out there, the Clark County Amphitheater, and you went it without fail, because no one ever tells the bands, of course. So they probably just lie to the band for the sake of ego and say, yeah, you're playing in Portland. Sure, yeah, Portland, Oregon. Market number 24. When in reality, they're doing no such thing. They're in a different state altogether. And so you'll go to see, you know, Poison at the Clark County Amphitheater, and without fail, the guy will come out and say, hello, Portland! You know, and clearly no one has told him he's in Washington. He's in a different county, a different state. He is, in fact, nowhere near Portland. And I know that it must just drive the people who live in Vancouver absolutely crazy. It's like they don't want to identify the town, so they'll look around for the nearest relevant place they can find and just name it after that.
Right, right.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend, my friend. Have fun in the great outdoors. Stay on the trail.
I will.
All right.
Bear Mountain, we're going to actually be volunteering doing some trail maintenance.
Okay, well, especially a place called Bear Mountain. You stay on the trail. You get off the trail, bad things happen.
Exactly.
All right, Steve Kastenbaum, enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
There you go, Steve Kastenbaum in New York City, ladies and gentlemen. God bless him. All right, I dig that guy. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Okay, so we're going to talk to Dick Uliano here in a few. Is that the deal? Yes, we are. All right.
And are we going to find out what's in the bag?
Scotty J.
Yes, we will.
David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Leave up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J., our intrepid PA. Should we talk to Scotty first or open the bag first?
Let's open the bag.
All right, let's open the bag. Now, see, now it's not going to be exciting.
But I'm excited.
Because it's not Independence Day videos and it's not a squid. In fact, this is not even from me. This is a guy left this at the front desk today.
Is it something edible?
Yes, it is. It is... It's a box of Crustios.
Awesome!
Sweetened, let's see, the best you can expect from a TV clown. And then in true Krusty style, product shown is not representative of the actual product inside. I guarantee I was paid to say this is nutritious. So here...
The box of Crustios.
There you go.
Oh, this is so cool.
Okay, also, though, a squishy container. I have no idea. There's not even any note. And then a Radioactive Man comic book. So there you go.
That's so cool.
It's a whole Simpsons fun pack just from some guy. And he didn't even leave his name with Zinn. He just dropped it off and he left into the night. So the question is, will I eat those? That's really the question.
What did someone say that they're like Fruit Loops?
Which is my favorite cereal. Fruit Loops are my favorite bad cereal. So the question is, will I eat those? Or should or should I give them to someone else so I don't eat them? Or should we leave them in the studio where they will eventually be taken and eaten by a weekender?
No, you should eat them.
Well, you sure you don't want them? I'll send them home with you.
No, they're your favorite cereal. You go for it.
I don't know. How did they do the marketing thing?
So is Fruit Loops, they took over the Crustio's name for a little while?
I don't know how that works. Because there's no, let's see. And there's no General Mills, let's see, distributed by Momco. I don't know. See, there is no, like, General Mills or whatever on here. Or they are kosher, apparently. Let's see. There's no actual other labeling on here. It's all very confusing. And, you know, there's probably no point in just, like, saving these. So what I'll do is I'll eat the cereal and then I'll maybe save the box. So when I'm, like, 100, I go, I got some Crustios. Guy gave me some. So there you go. So I'll eat those. Hey, who knows how many calories are in this box?
3,000?
No, it's actually fewer than you might expect. It's actually only 1,600. So, there you go. That's not even a day's worth of calories. We'll talk to Scotty here in a second. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Dick Iuliano. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Rick. Good afternoon from D.C.
How is your Friday going for you? Do you have a fulfilling weekend on the schedule?
Well, it's actually been kind of a busy day here, really. I'm kind of surprised. You know, don't you think sometimes, like, when Friday rolls around, you deserve kind of a quiet day?
Yeah, there
sometimes
are no,
you don't get it.
Well, there are no quiet days in D.C. these days because every
it's
single...
True.
Every single day, there's some sort of crack in the Earth's layer. There, I would have foolishly assumed, although I guess it makes sense when you think about it. My knee jerk reaction would have been to say that Fred Thompson was the fundraising leader, but I guess Giuliani has his Q factor has got to be just stratospheric even now, years after 9/11. So he is now top dog in GOP fundraising.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And remember that Thomas is not formally in the race yet, and he hasn't really had any of these big fundraisers. He's got one coming up, though, pretty soon, I believe, in Atlanta. But anyway, the Federal Election Commission numbers show that the former mayor of New York City managed to raise $17 million earlier this spring, in the 3 months that ending in June. And that's the most of all the Republicans. He leads Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, and John McCain. And remember, McCain raised only $11 million during those 3 months, forcing him to lay off some of the people in his campaign.
And if you were to match up, so this puts now, I guess, Hillary and Giuliani out front as being the leaders of their respective PACs finance-wise.
Well, you know, Senator Clinton is doing pretty well raising campaign dollars, and I don't have her number in front of me, but she did not raise more than Barack Obama. This guy set all the records from April to June. You know, he's enormously popular, and people are really contributing to his campaign. Compare Giuliani's $17 million on the Republican side to Democratic Senator Obama raising $32.5 million in 3 months. So he is he's the trendsetter here. But listen, the Giuliani people are pleased. They think they're in a good spot going forward.
And this is one of those questions I can never get straight in my own head, but when you say something like Giuliani raised $17 million, are we still at some place where the law says that, like, a person can only donate a grand or $1,200?
Yeah, Yeah, there are limits. In fact, I think it's $2,000 for an individual. You know, and the groups can donate more, and you can donate $2,000 in the primary season, and $2,000 for the general election per individual. And then, of course, like I say, some groups can donate more. So one of the numbers they look at, Rick, is how many donors contributed. For Barack Obama, it's 150,000 in those 3 months, and Giuliani, 60,000.
So this is very much the legacy, especially with Obama, of Howard Dean. This is sort of Howard Dean's lasting gift, right, is the ability to raise this grassroots internet money.
Geez, I think that's great analysis, really, because, you know, the traditional way of thinking of these things is the Republicans are the big moneyed fat cats and the Democrats are the little guys, so the Republicans always raise more money. But you're absolutely right. Howard Dean really turned this on its ear in the last cycle, turning to the internet, and Democrat Obama is following suit there. And the Democrats are getting pretty adept at using the internet and raising smaller individual contributions to the Republicans, you know, more, $1,000 a plate dinners.
Right. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank
As
you.
As always, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Rick. Thanks a lot.
There you go. Dick Iuliano, ladies and gentlemen. God bless him.
What a pro.
I love that guy. He's a machine. All right. Really, and I mean that in the best possible way. He just can't be. He is just like a T-1000 of news delivery. Scotty J., hello, sir.
Good morning, Metolius. I had to go on the air.
I shouldn't laugh. I know it encourages him. That was funny, though. Is that a real place?
Yes. I had to go on the internet now. I have this whole chart of every single city in Oregon.
Are you going
to
have a map with pins?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little bit of
places
bit
I
of
have
Washington
mentioned.
Too.
You should do a tour.
Yeah.
Good morning, Metolius. That'll be the show you end up hosting someday.
That's about right. Right. Three listeners this morning.
By the way, apparently Momco. Doesn't Momco sound like it'd be made by that company, Futurama?
Totally.
Stick a bastard in it, you crap! The Momco apparently stands for Malto Meal Co. Malto Meal, though, does not make Fruit Loops, so I guess inside are not real Fruit Loops, but knockoff Fruit Loops. All right. Hello, Scotty.
How's it going?
Speaking
of hosting your own show, I'll be hosting a show this weekend, finally.
What are you hosting?
Miles Around.
You're going to be co-hosting?
I'm actually hosting.
Aren't you co-hosting? No.
I'm actually hosting, and I'll have my intrepid PA, Dennis Pitsenbarger, by my side.
Nice.
Have him get some coffee for me.
Someone needs to be humbled a little bit. So is Matt gone this weekend?
Yes.
So it'll be Dennis Pitsenbarger and Scotty J tomorrow, 9 to 11.
We'll be talking man stuff, cars. That's it.
We're talking man thing, man.
Yeah.
Man
all right.
stuff.
What is the so where are we with Mr. Ice? I'm sorry, with Rob Van Winkle.
Rob will be getting off a plane around the 1:25 zone, so I should probably be hearing something around 1:30.
So now the deal is he will be calling us at some point between 1:30 and 2:30.
Right. I'm hoping, earlier. I'm gonna hear from his posse at 1:30.
His posse.
Rob might be hungry when he steps off the plane, so we're not sure.
Rob's hungry all the time.
Busy.
Rob's Rob's hungry for I don't know. I was trying to find a joke there. Something.
Well, last night apparently he rocked Corvallis, so we're gonna hear about that today.
Wait, I thought he was flying in.
Oh, he's gonna do it tonight. I'm sorry. I'm a day off.
So he's flying where?
He's flying
Is he
in
flying
here?
Into Portland and
yes.
then driving to Corvallis?
Correct.
In case you're interested in stalking him.
He's going to rock Corvallis tonight.
Tonight we rock Corvallis. We are loved in Belgium. All right, and then tomorrow. Okay, but we will be talking to Mr. Ice today between 1:30 and 2:30.
Either him or someone who acts like him, one of the two.
Don't say that.
Because I will not fail on this one.
You will not fail to get us someone who sounds like Vanilla
Correct.
Ice. Thanks so much, Scotty. You're a real pro.
Oh, Scotty.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
You're welcome.
All right. Hello. Let's see. Rick, I bought a six-pack of Buzz Cola. Cost me $3.99, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's right. Well, of course they're kosher, because his name is Herschel Krestovsky. That's right. I forgot about that. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, a couple of quick facts for you there, man.
Uh-huh.
Just so you know, the water that's used to make those killer bagels that you guys love so much, I'm a native New Yorker. I know where it comes from. It's actually delivered from upstate New York through a 100-mile pipeline system that comes all the way from, like, up in, the northwest region of the state.
Right.
So, I mean, they've tried to replicate the bagel recipe everywhere else, and it never seems to work because it is, in fact,
in
that
water.
Terrific water. Yeah, it's all that, Westchester County water. It's beautiful.
So, on this episode of Entourage, though, I forget exactly. Oh, you know what it is? Here's what it was, I think. It was that Turtle only goes to this specific place in L.A. to get bagels, and they claim the bagels taste just like home because the guy who owns the bagel shop imports water from New York. I think that's the deal in the episode.
Absolutely, yeah. And the other fun fact for you today is Billy Joel. Remember last week we had a conversation about that? He actually comes from Levittown, New York. He's not from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
And he's not from the streets of anywhere.
No, not really. He actually had a very charmed childhood in Levittown, and then he played at a lot of bars in Oyster Bay, Long Island. And I remember going out to see him in these small dink clubs when he was a nobody. And, he has that sort of street charm that people like to think of him, but frankly, he grew up with plenty of money, so he's not a street kid.
All right, excellent. Hey, may I ask this in just sort of a generalized sense? You don't have to answer specifically. What line of work are you in, sir?
I am a commercial finance guy for a major bank, but
all right. Sarah was noting that you have
a very like radio sounding voice.
Don't you do have the voice of a broadcaster.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I've heard that about 100,000 times in the course of my lifetime.
100,000 times.
And people have told me for years, dude, you got to get into that radio stuff. I mean, you would just be slaying people out there. So,
yes, but you'd be broke and embittered.
You know what? I know that, too.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Have a great weekend,
right,
everybody.
There you go. Fantastic. Excellent.
I like that guy.
No, he's good. No, he's a charming individual. He really is.
We might need a new intern one of these days.
Yeah, Scotty. Somebody might get a little too uppity. All right. Do we have to... all right. Final call, because it's Scotty-based. I'll take it, and then we got a break. Hi, you have an idea for a new sounder for Scotty.
Well, yeah, he was just saying that this time he will not fail, and I immediately thought of the old Tennessee Tuxedo line.
Tennessee Tuxedo?
Tennessee Tuxedo will not fail! And, and everything that he ever did always fell apart in shambles, you know.
Wait a minute, now I feel, this is a strange feeling. I don't know what you're talking about. You're making a pop culture reference, and I don't know what it is.
Do you remember Tennessee Tuxedo, the cartoon?
No, I really don't.
He was voiced by Don Adams of Get Smart fame.
And who later did Inspector Gadget, but I don't really... Tim, Tennessee Tuxedo, voiced by Don Adams?
Yes.
See, Tim knows it, but I don't know. That's it. I am out in the cold on this
try,
one.
Try, what is it? What do they call that? The YouTube thing?
YouTube.
Try the YouTube.
I don't know. Not YouTube. YouTube, sir.
YouTube. Yeah, the inner tubes. Yeah, try the
tubes.
Look it up on the inner tubes. Yeah.
All right. YouTube. Tennessee Tuxedo.
I'm looking at YouTube.
I'm totally looking it up right now. All right. Tennessee Tuxedo. I am all over it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Girlfriend, Sweet Polly Purebred.
Okay, now see, I know her, though.
Yeah.
How is it that I know Sweet Polly Purebred and I don't know Tennessee Tuxedo?
I don't know.
All right, hold on.
I'm sensing a gap in your pop culture.
No, it's true. Well, it's like my knowledge of Friends.
That's hurt.
It does. No, it's like you quiz me about the TV show Friends. I got nothing. I know so little about Friends. I mean, I kind of know the stuff everybody knows. I can make fun. I can joke about Rachel's hairdo in the first couple series. Seasons, everybody in America had it. I can joke about how the episode titles were all like, the one where they call the episode title the one where. You know, I know that. And I know that they were really white and lived in a city where there were apparently everyone was white. And they lived in a loft that no one like that could ever afford. But that's it. That's it. That is like the extent. And weren't two of them related?
Yes.
Okay.
Brother and sister.
And presumably they didn't have sex, but I think all the other combinations
that
of sex. What? Are
that
you screwing one. With me? I know there was one where Jennifer Aniston earned an award. What's her name? Courtney Cox in a fat suit. Was
yes,
it called?
It was hilarious because she had a weight problem in high school.
Was it called the one where Courtney Cox is in a fat suit?
I don't know.
That's it. That my Friends is one of the, and I know about the theme song by the Rembrandts, which was their second, single and only real hit, which they didn't write and they hate performing it live. And I think it caused them to break up because they despise that song so much, but it's all anybody ever wants to hear from them. That's it.
Whoever wants to hear that song ever again?
Not well, apparently, but there was that time. Okay, now we really do have to break it just a second. But the Rembrandts, this totally ties in. This book ends with our thing on Monday about playing all those 90s songs.
Mm-hmm.
The Rembrandts had a beautiful debut single that did kind of well called That's Just the Way It Is, Baby. A beautiful, a very melancholy song. Not the kind of song that's going to be a big hit because it's kind of a downer. But a beautiful, melancholy song called That's Just the Way It Is, Baby. Didn't really go so well. And then they had the song Our House Is Not a Home. Not a real hit. Everybody thought
that sounds like a depressing title.
It is. Well, they were like Crowded House. They were real kind of a melancholy pop band. And then they bounced back out of nowhere with this, you know, I'll be there for you. But they didn't write it, and they hate it. But they would go to play shows. And there would be, you know, everybody who came to see, like, their regular, normal, melancholy stuff. And then there'd be a bunch of blonde girls who came to hear the Friends theme. And that's all they would scream out, play the Friends theme! You know, and it's just after a while, I think they were just drinking themselves blind backstage, like, hating their lives. And then they broke up.
Yeah, I remember the horrible video where, like, all the Friends people were in there. And they were doing that whole, like, pretending to play the
guitar.
Were
they riding miniature bicycles around the set?
No, they're all, they're all playing with the guys while they're...
I remember that! Oh, it's terrible.
It's a terrible video.
Oh, all right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show continues next with Tim Riley and the Noon News Hour. You stay right there. 503-733-2970 is the phone number. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. You stay right there. It's AM 970. Solid State Radio. No one told you that was going to be this way. 503-733-2970. 503-7... Soon you'll need progressive lenses.
You're just getting older, right?
It's true. It really is true. Not bifocals. Progressives.
Progressives.
Yeah, that's what the guy told me.
They cost too much.
I'll just get those $1.99 glasses at Safeway.
Same
thing. Those always seem so terrible. Have you ever been to like a store and you see, you may have even been this, I mean, I don't know, you go to the supermarket and it's like a rotating plastic stand of glasses and they're so-called reading glasses, but they're just like these really crudely ground prescriptions that like they buy in China for like 50 cents and then they sell to you for like $3.99. And you see people in there buying them and putting them on there, and it just hurts my eyes even to watch people try those glasses on. Glasses, any sort of prescription eyewear that you have purchased from a Safeway for $3.99, that's going to make you blind eventually. Don't put those on. Seriously. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A man has been knocked unconscious during a belly flop in the Punch Bowl Falls, which is located somewhere out there in the hinterlands. He is in serious condition after nearly drowning. The witnesses say 20-year-old Benjamin McAfee did a belly flop off a cliff about 60 feet above the falls. Well, the jump left him unconscious. According to the witnesses, he was lifelined to a manual.
I bet he was a fat guy. Belly flops are always done by fat guys.
Yeah.
That's something I've learned from teenage sex comedies.
Because they think it's funny in a John Belushi way.
Totally. Or in a Jim Belushi kind of way. I'm going to start announcing to people that my comedic icon is Jim Belushi from now on. I'm going to start taking the lesser-known siblings of talented celebrities and start referencing them as the people that I try to emulate. I'm more of a Brian Doyle Murray kind of guy. Here's Tim Riley.
Fire season 2007 is officially underway. Right now we have a high desert wildfire going on in southeast Oregon's Harney County, wherever that is. It exploded into 10,000 acres overnight. This is near the Chickahominy. The Chickahominy Reservoir in southeast Oregon.
I don't know.
Not that we care about that whole area.
I mean, seriously. Right,
like we're never going to go there.
Like I'm ever going to need to know the...
Let it burn.
like I'm ever going to need to know the name of that place again for any
that
future
reason.
That
is the
reason.
Chickahominy Reservoir.
Yeah, get down there. How can a reservoir burn?
I don't know. Who knows in there?
What's in the... It's our gasoline reservoir.
Well, it was ignited by an SUV in a high desert road. And no other details are available. The wildfire destroyed the vehicle, so there.
That's in your face, SUV. All right.
No, it's 10,000 acres that nobody will ever go to anyway.
The Chickahominy...
Chickamahonomy.
Chickamahonomy.
It's Friday, and I'm trying to do this phonetically. Chickahominy.
If only you'd gone to the dentist beforehand.
I know it.
Ah, fantastic. Well, that's a place you've never heard of, so it doesn't matter if it's gone.
It's threatening the Kent Gap Ranch.
Uh-huh.
It was established during Franklin Roosevelt's presidency.
Let's do the whole history of it.
Nobody cares about this place.
No.
It's way down to the map, but you never pull down quite far enough. Oregon really doesn't count outside the I-5 corridor anyway. It would be out there.
It's true. This guy just sent me this great website. This is a real website. $39glasses.com with the note, check the site. I get all my glasses there. Oh, fantastic. Save 70% on your prescription glasses. All glasses, $39. Name you can trust. Uh-huh. All right. The type on this page is huge, by the way. The font, it's like 40-point type on all the letters. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Tom Brokaw's got to be in Everett over the weekend as Boeing rolls out its brand-new Dreamliner. This is a brand-new jet. This is the first one they've had since 1995. It seats between 250 and 300 people, so it's smaller than most jets today. That's because fewer people are flying because nobody wants to go to the airport anymore. So the Dreamliner is coming, and Tom Brokaw will make some sort of speech.
Oh, I have like so many stacks here that I don't know which one to go to.
Dude, tell me about it. I started off the week with this pile of stories that we were going to spin the random wheel of what to do next with, and we were going to do stories. But actually, the pile got so large that I've now had to start. I've had to create subsidiary piles. Like one, here's just a random. Let me just. I won't dwell on this. Let me just. Here's a random story from the. Three accused of enslaving Chinese acrobats.
We did that yesterday.
I don't remember that, really.
Yeah, toward the end of the show.
Oh. Well, that would explain it all, wouldn't it? I mean, who decided... that's never happened before. Like, we've never gone 3 days in a row reading the same story. Like, you'll read a story, and there's a sort of tickle in the base of your brain, like, this sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, this is like an entire holiday week.
Totally.
I don't see anybody running around here.
Every day this week has felt like Friday. Yeah. Every single day. Monday, Wednesday, yesterday, they all felt like Friday.
And finally it is Friday.
No, you go upstairs. Like I told you, I went upstairs the other day, the air conditioning turned off. Why? No one really working. I mean, to his credit, Dennis Pitzenbarger was here on the 4th of July working, and yesterday and whatever, and Susan Reynolds is working. Everybody else, phoning it in. One employee, who I will not identify... Oh, I shouldn't even say this. No.
Oh, you can't start that.
Well, I'll be very vague about this. One employee... claimed illness and did not come to work, thus making it a whole, 5 days off sweep. Yet mysteriously had already completed all time card paperwork ahead of time.
Come on.
Because the time cards were due yesterday, and it was a whole lot of I'm suddenly sick and won't be able to come in, and as a result I have a 5-day weekend or whatever it is. And yet mysteriously all of the paperwork for the time card had been done, signed, filled out, and left with the appropriate supervisor in advance. That's all I'm going to say about that. So it's that kind of week around here. Not for us, though, because we're hard workers. Who needs to enslave Chinese acrobats? Like, what are they going to do? Do you just have them, in a trunk in your house and you bring them out to entertain at parties?
I think they're rare.
Really?
Yeah.
Yang! Get out of the trunk! There's company! Twirl something! All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man has opened fire at a Vegas casino. This wouldn't have happened in the old days of the mob, so we really need to bring them back. People just aren't safe anymore.
Get Jilly Rizzo on this.
A man on a walkway over a New York casino floor opened fire on the gamblers early today, wounding 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Now, look, I'm not trying to give anybody ideas, but I'm surprised that doesn't happen all the time. Because there's no... The only security they have in Vegas is to make sure you're not stealing from the dealer or, counting cards. Mm-hmm. They don't frisk anybody. You could walk into a casino with pockets and pockets full of guns and crack, and nobody would ever check.
No. So this fellow was tackled by a group of off-duty police officers and military personnel, so they were close. Police revised their initial report that 4 people were wounded, and they credited bystanders with subduing the gunmen before police arrived. Amazingly, few were hurt. The gunman is in his early 50s and is a Las Vegas resident, not a hotel employee or guest. The man entered the casino from the walkway connecting New York to the MGM Grand and randomly fired several shots at people on the casino floor below. It seemed like some local guy just snapped and went to the hotel to do it.
Well, okay, there you go. I'm surprised that this doesn't happen more often, where some guy loses the rent money and it blows himself away at the table. You know what I mean? Hmm. You know? And player busts, right there. Just out comes the gun. I'm surprised that doesn't happen all the time in Vegas. You get that Ray Combs guy, they take the trouble going back up to the room and hanging themselves in a closet. I'm surprised that people just didn't pull out a pistol and just end it all right there at the felt.
Guess we're informed, and now it's back to business as usual.
Well, you know that the gambling never stopped.
No.
You know that 15 feet away, people were still, heartache! And there's no stopping the gambling in Vegas. There have been stories, probably apocryphal to some degree, but there have been stories about, guy has a heart attack at the craps table. And, meanwhile, the gambling is still going on all around. People stepping over his body, which I guess normally only happens at convenience stores in Wichita. Mm-hmm. People stepping over the body to, get to the stick man or whatever at the crap table because, they don't want to stop the gambling. So, any number of things. I've been in Vegas a whole lot where just big things have happened. There'd be some huge scuffle or a fight or whatever. But nothing ever stops the gambling there. So, anyway.
Well, there's no doubt that Vegas is sweltering under some of the hottest temperatures ever. It was 116 degrees yesterday. Why? That's
it's a dry heat, though.
That's unbearable, says the man for the fire department.
The calls that we had, and I just checked the computer for yesterday, and in the metropolitan area, we only had about 25 calls that was heat-related on the 4th of July and on the 3rd. It was even less, and a lot of these are workers that are outside that were just overcome by heat.
Imagine having to work on a road crew or some 116 degrees.
Yes.
I mean, that's unbelievably hot. I mean, it's unreal.
Apparently, people in Las Vegas are used to it being hot.
The people that live here in the desert, they're used to the heat and they get acclimated to it. And
such crap.
It's really not causing as big a problem as it may in other cities that don't get the temperatures like we do every summer.
There is no one who gets used to a 116-degree temperature. That can't be gotten used to. I don't buy that. I mean, I grew up in a desert. It wasn't 116 degrees in Kenner. I mean, we got to be like 106, 107 sometimes.
But that's the Palm Springs of Washington State, as the sign proclaims as you enter.
It's the Santa Barbara.
The big stack of burning tires.
Totally. Just acres and acres of ragweed and locusts welcome you to Kennewick. There's no way you get used to 116 degrees. The human beings were not meant to live where it's 116 degrees.
So why do we put the Indians there?
We don't want to live there.
I think that question is
self-explanatory, Tim. I mean, I think the people who set that system up themselves had no desire to live there. So, you know, why not make some use of it? I'm just saying, it's like those places where it's like, 40 below when there's wind chill or something. Your ass doesn't ever, ever, ever get used to that. It's like having a job where you have to get up at 3:45 in the morning. You never get used to that ever. It's just wrong. It's wrong on every level.
I know. I found that out a couple of years back.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I mean, we know people like that who are just... Well, that's right. You had to do. I keep forgetting that you had to do mornings. I think everybody's forgotten.
Good. I don't think anybody knew.
Toronto, because I remember they would have had to have listened. my friend Mick used to do mornings, and it was like he did mornings for like 13 years or something at some horrible adult contemporary station in Salt Lake City. And I remember asking him, like, you know, what time do you get up? And he's like, I get up around 4. I said, do you ever get used to it? No. Sucks every morning. I wish I was dead. You know, it's, you never, ever, ever get used to that. And so just the idea of, I mean, I had a really bad, terrible outdoor job in Kennewick one summer where I literally was just like hauling chunks of concrete around in buckets. And it was in a dust bowl. And it was like 102 degrees. And I made it through like, I don't know, however many weeks of that. I was like, F this. I am never, ever, I don't care. I'll starve. I'm never doing this again. So, screw that.
And that was a well-sought-after job.
Seriously.
For people who want to do real men's work.
It was highly coveted. Gotta carry a metal lunch bucket with me.
All right, here's Tim Riley. Viva Las Vegas! Sin City is gearing up for the biggest wedding day of the year on 7-7-0-7. Viva Las Vegas wedding chapel owner Ron DeCar says he's doing an entire month's business in one day.
We have 170 weddings. We've never done anything like that before. Starting at midnight on the 6th,
crazy.
We have four different venues going till about 4 a.m. Then we sleep for 3 hours. We come back at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we go straight through till 1 a.m. on the 8th in five different venues, all happening at once.
I love Las Vegas.
Special commemorative items to the 170 couples who have booked the 7707 weddings at the chapel are available.
We have all kinds of shirts and glasses.
Doesn't
and
this sound like Peter Carlin?
Things that have 777 on them, and I'm just kind of anticipating people will also kind of come either, you know, dressed and stuff as resembling that day.
That's true. It says Scotty's noting it says just like Peter Carlin. This email says, I was in Tucson when it hit 122 degrees. There is no humor in your crack about it being a dry heat. It happened when I was at the University of Arizona. I have dark hair, and I thought my head was going to burst into flames as I ran between buildings. I'm sorry it's wrong to laugh at the pain of others. All right, what can you do? Well, look, it's hotter in Death Valley. It's 127 degrees there. It's going to be my thing all day. Don't bitch. It's hotter in Death Valley. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Miss New Jersey said photos she once posted on her own website are now being used as blackmail by someone who wants her to turn in her coveted crown. 22-year-old Amy Palumbo says an anonymous person mailed her the pictures and threatened to release them to the public if she didn't relinquish her crown. While the recently crowned a beauty queen of the Garden State would not describe the photos at a press conference she called yesterday, she said they were not lewd in nature and were meant to be seen only by friends and family. The newspaper reports board members of the Miss New Jersey organization are reviewing those photographs. More than 150 artists are set to participate in tomorrow's Global Live Earth Concert on seven continents.
That strange yawning sensation coming back again.
Al Gore said the show is more than just good music.
We are asking all of the 2 billion people estimated to be in the audience Saturday to sign a 7-point pledge that embodies the solution to the climate crisis, including putting pressure on your country no matter where you live in the world.
These concerts are not meant to make money.
Most of the large concerts have tickets that are sold to cover the costs. All of the performers, by the way, are performing for free. And God bless them.
They're going to have the concerts in both the U.S. and China because they're the 2 biggest producers of greenhouses.
And we both have dynamic economies that are growing. And we both have the opportunity to invest in the new, cleaner, more efficient technologies that will allow continued improvements in the quality of lip.
And lips. And the quality of lip.
So who's going to sing? Bon Jovi. The Dave Matthews Band. Which, aren't they big polluters themselves?
Probably. And they throw feces out of their butts.
Alicia's Keys and the Police. Madonna will headline the Live Earth Concert at London's Wembley Stadium. And there'll be a Live Earth Concert in Antarctica.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder who got stuck with that.
So somebody named Nunatak will perform.
Nunatak?
Is it some sort of Eskimo?
Yes, it's an Eskimo band. The Nunatak of the North.
Or the South. This is Antarctica.
I don't even know where Antarctica is.
Oh, it's way down the bottom of everything. It's where it's really cold.
That's where it's really cold.
Yes.
Let me.
And they got penguins there. And...
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't really even know. Like, if you were to ask me right now where's
Antarctica?
No, it's not that I don't know where Antarctica is, but it's like, do they have like
concerts?
Like,
no, yes, they do.
No. I honestly, really, if you were to ask me, are there penguins at the North Pole, the South Pole, and Antarctica? Or
I think they're only at the South Pole.
Okay, now are the South Pole and Antarctica the same thing?
Yes, it's the same area. The South Pole would run through...
Are they interchangeable?
No, they're not.
What's the difference between the South Pole and Antarctica?
A pole is just a stick. Is it? North, it runs
it's like a barber pole, but it's...
It runs through the center of the globe, and then there's a bracket that holds the rest of the globe in place. North Pole, South Pole, and the bracket.
And then there's a huge fish tank on the windowsill, past which you can see the playground. The Earth... That's so great. And this is where the Earth is held together by a huge spindle.
Then you twirl it around.
And
then
there's a large brass thing with little lines on it that goes around the outside. The end. My name is Haley. I am 5. All right. Well, blah, 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 Madonna. Blah, 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 Dave Matthews. This is really, really just the whitest lineup of people ever.
Madonna wrote a song for this.
Did she really? Oh, wait, did we play part of that?
I'm not sure.
Was it hideous? It had to have been hideous.
I haven't heard it yet.
All right. Is it... Didn't... I thought we had a little segment weeks back where we played a segment of the new Madonna Live Earth Global Warming thing song. Does she rhyme latte with anything? That's all I care about.
I don't know. I haven't heard it.
All right. Well, let me look. Because you said they were kind of light on sound today because it's a holiday.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any Madonna sound. I was looking through the Metro News folder. I was thinking about just playing a soundbite randomly here and just seeing. Let's just see what random Madonna soundbite might be in here. Because we get all our soundbites from this folder, the Metro News folder, which just contains literally thousands and thousands of sound cuts. But with no explanation. In other words, there's no... And they all have cryptic names like LAMI55Z-Wave. I have no idea what it means. And without some sort of a news story or a guide, like there's this. It says Madonna 1. But my friends keep telling me to give it up. Saying I'm too young, I don't give it up. There's no explanation as to why this soundbite is in the Metro News Bank today. There's no need. No,
oh, somebody from Papa Don't Preach is just there.
It's just there. It's an 11.6 second little snippet there of Papa Don't Preach for no readily apparent reason. Boy, goddamn, did she look just hot in that video, though.
Yeah.
She has the short, spiky hair with the sort of black roots, and then she's got that striped shirt on that's all tight. And then you know she's slutty because she's pregnant, so that's hot. It's just that's the and Danny Aiello, I think, is the dad, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a whole lot of, no, a whore daughter of mine is, you know, and he probably smacks her around because you get the feeling that's how it is in that family. Just hot as balls. Here's the other, there's two Madonna soundbites. There's that one. What do you suppose the other Madonna soundbite? It's either probably, it's probably her talking or some other hook from another song. Oh, how great is that song, by the way?
It's an awesome song.
Let me, I think it's overdriven.
It's happy
here.
And bouncy.
It really is. Wait. I could listen to this song over and over again all day. This is the
I
song
think
that
put something in it to addict you to it.
It's the song is filled with some sort of crack-like substance.
Peppy.
Oh, it really is. As soon as I heard, the rest of the album is sort of okay, except for that. What is that terrible line on that new Madonna record? She has God, it's something like New York makes me feel like a dork or something. It's like the worst rhyme she's ever come up with.
Well, that's from the old album.
It's awful.
Yeah.
But this song. This is one of the best Madonna singles of all time. I mean, she could really just be phoning it in at this point, but she does still do great music. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll look for any excuse just to sit and talk about Madonna endlessly. Oh, wait, hold on. We have, let's see.
Madonna.
Hi, sir. You have an answer about Antarctica.
Nunatak, and they are from Antarctica. They are research scientists down there that play Grateful Dead music.
God.
Yeah, they were the only band from Antarctica, so they, you know, kind of...
They kind of got the gig by default.
They won the lottery.
Well, there you go. And how did I know that it was going to be Grateful Dead songs they play? Guys like that always play songs by the Grateful Dead.
Now, caravanning for those guys would be a little hard, I think, you know, yeah. With all that winter clothing and stuff.
No. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye now. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I got a question here. I'm kind of, I don't have access to my computer. I saw a very disconcerting commercial, this new Starburst commercial. Have you seen it within the milk barn? And the guy walks up and goes, this milk tastes tangy, and then there's this old guy that has a milking machine attached to him.
What? Wait, whoa. Let's all stall them. No, I'm not going to... Sarah's mouth into words. Bleep that. No, it is disgusting, but let me just stop here. Because
it's a commercial.
Hold on. Let's all take a breath.
Okay.
Where did you see this commercial?
Network TV.
Network television?
Yes. Because I'm at home stuck and...
Tim, have you seen the Starburst commercial?
I don't watch commercials.
Sarah, have you seen the Starburst commercial?
The milking machine?
An old man. Please now to describe, give me a blow-by-blow account of the commercial
and
again.
I've seen this numerous times in the last week here.
Okay.
Okay, this guy walks in, kind of farmer-looking, he's holding a milk bottle, and he's walking up and you see he's talking to someone else, and he goes, this milk tastes tangy. And he says, guy, do you know why? And then it cuts to a shot of this old guy. And, you know, a milking machine has, like, these stainless steel tubes with a hose attached to it. And those go on the udders of the cow.
Yes.
He's got one attached.
Now, where is it attached?
Well, apparently there's two that look like are actually on his breast. And then he's got one below that and one on his stomach. So whether he's supposed to have...
So the man has udders?
Well, you can't tell whether he has udders, whether they're actually hooked up to udders, or they're just stuck on his stomach. That's the nebulous part that you have to kind of...
Maybe I'm not seeing the obvious connection, but how is it that they then relate this to Starburst?
Well, he's eating, and while this is hooked up to him, going chugga-chugga-chugga, he's eating Starburst.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
It is. It's really a gross commercial. I saw it the first time and went, oh, this does not make me want to eat this candy.
Seriously, let me find something waxy and fruity to put in my mouth. I haven't seen that. But
okay, that's not the point I was calling
you
for. The point I wanted to ask, so when you're looking for it now, the actor who portrays the guy being milked, the cowman.
The cowman being milked, yes, sir.
Looks like the actor who portrayed Rhoda's husband, Joe on the TV series Rhoda.
We're really reaching way back. This is just the strangest series of observations in this call. Okay.
But I'm trying to figure out if it's him or not, and I was hoping, I figured, since you weren't wasting space in your brain on Antarctica or anything, that you would have knowledge of Rhoda.
Science. All right, hold on. Starburst commercial. All right, I'll look it up, sir, and then we'll get back to you.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank
you. Best show ever.
All right. That's just disgusting. Why? Who would... I mean, well, clearly we're talking about it, so maybe the commercial has had the desired effect. All right. All right. I really don't know how to... we should probably break. There's really nothing we can segue to out of an elderly man being milked. Apparently somebody has the answer. We'll get that when we come back. And another guy's a Vegas security story. More from Tim Riley, Jim Roop coming up and so forth. Scott Daly. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Yeah. Sorry. Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there. During the show, because then it, you know, it gives me the you know, just my mouth stops working right if I eat during the show. And so last Friday, by the time that I got upstairs last Friday, because there was pizza last Friday, and then there was, but by the time I get up there, I won't mention the advertiser or the restaurants. They may be an advertiser. I'll simply say this: by the time I got upstairs, there was a particular kind of poultry upstairs. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't ever eat that. I don't ever, not that I'm talking about the food, I don't ever eat at that place. And, you know, about every 10 years, like, I'll get amnesia or something, and I'll forget that I don't eat there. And then I'll have a piece of it, and about halfway through the first piece, I realize why I don't eat there.
Did you actually eat it last Friday?
I did. Well, because there was no food. Well, the pizza was gone. I'm like, oh, free, and I'm off the air. I can eat. Free. I heard there was free food upstairs, because you had said there was, like, pizza. So I go upstairs to the conference room. And there's a large helping of the poultry food from this particular well-known restaurant. And I'm like, oh, it's free. I'll have some. And I get about halfway through a piece. And I'm like, oh, God. Now this is, I remember, it's all coming back to me now. Now I know why I don't eat this. And because it makes your mouth like the Mojave Desert. It just dries your mouth out.
Well,
and
you need a colon cleansing.
What? I almost got one. You eat that and then you wait about 45 minutes, you might get a colon cleansing, my friend. From the inside out. Before we do anything else here, let's clear up this business about this Starburst commercial, in which apparently an old man is having his man teats milked, I believe. How's your coffee working out for you?
That's so wrong.
Hi, David, the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
You know, I haven't seen the commercial, so I'm ahead of the game. What's up?
Well, you got to see the commercial.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not Starbucks, it's Skittles.
Skittles.
Sour Skittles.
Skittles. Okay, got it.
Okay, so
sour-flavored
the man-cow...
Man-cow, yes.
...is, you know, he's being milked.
Of course.
By a milking machine.
Sure.
Apparently his boss comes in and says, why is this milk sour? Well, it's because he's eating the sour Skittles. Okay.
So now, disgusting.
I saw this commercial one time, and I swear to God, the man cow is Christopher Watkins.
Are you really? Are you sure?
All right. It looked like him to me.
All right, hold on. I'm looking at the commercial. Let's see. Okay, here we go. This is the commercial. I'm going to play this right now. So this is the. Let's see. I'm at the Skittles webpage right now, and we're doing exactly what they want. By the way, we're talking about the commercial. All right, hold on. The commercial's loading.
Very effective commercial.
It's viral marketing, is what it is. All right, so the commercial is loading, and so you believe it might be Christopher Walken. So let me look here. So it's loading. I'm gonna wait till it's about halfway buffered. And sour Skittles. So it's like because the kids, they love the sour candy these days. The warheads and the whatnot. So let me just load this. All right.
Why does this milk taste sour?
It's made
Okay, this is one of the most revolting things I have ever seen in my life, and I'm only like 4 seconds into it. It's in this grimy-ass, like, disgusting warehouse horse stable thing. The manager comes in, and he says, why is this milk sour? And I swear to God, there's a guy with what looks like several vacuum cleaner attachments hooked up to his nipples and the rest of his torso. And everybody is coming over to watch it now. All right. Well, let me turn up my headphones so you can hear this. Hold on a second, sir. All right.
Yeah, let me just... Does this milk taste sour?
It's me.
Maybe it's something you're eating. That's too much.
What are you driving at?
Look, all I'm saying is, maybe if you ate less sour Skittles, I'd have less sour milk.
Well, that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Was that Christopher Walken or what?
It's the rainbow. Taste the rainbow.
Okay, it's not Christopher Walken, but clearly it is a guy that they... It is like, it's like when you see a commercial or something and you can tell that they wanted Christopher Walken or they wanted whoever, but they couldn't quite, and so they instead they hire so-and-so.
Who looks just like him.
Yeah, it's like clearly there are a lot of actors who...
sound like him.
There are guys who make money that way. It's like he, you know, the guy that you get when you can't get so-and-so. And this guy obviously is marketing himself as, when you can't get Christopher Walken, you hire this guy. Oh, my God.
All right. Okay, I saw it once and briefly, so.
Yeah, I never need to see that again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ugh. All right. It's not him, Scotty. Scotty's saying it's him. It's not, first of all, it's not. And second of all, I can't even imagine that Christopher Walken at this point would do that commercial, no matter how much they paid him. And they have to pay him a whole freaking lot. Man cow disease. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Now we know about that gunman who opened fire at that casino in Vegas. His name is Steven Zangreen. He's an unemployed Hungarian house painter who liked to gamble.
That's always a bad combination.
So the Hungarian house painter's family says, I love my cousin and everything, but his temper is not being able to relate to people, and it's gotten worse recently. He's been threatening the family for quite some time now, and he's pushing everyone away.
Whatever you do, don't call the cops preemptively. Don't have anybody come talk to him. Wait until he opens fire somewhere. Unemployed house painters always get the world into trouble.
Let's see here. Bystanders cheered for the wounded as they were wheeled out of casinos to ambulances.
They cheered for the wounded.
Yep.
Go wounded.
People don't put up with this stuff after 9/11 no more, said one. And he was surprised the casino never shut down. It really amazes me. They locked down the tables, but let people keep on playing the slot.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're all stunned by that. Rick, I just saw, this says this email, I just saw a wobbly-legged guy pushing an empty wheelchair down the sidewalk. What the F? Never mind, I realized I'm in Gresham. P.S. I hate you. All right, thank you. Let's see, Rick. Okay, I don't understand what's going on in this world. Here's another one. Rick, about another disturbing commercial. Have you seen the new one? Okay, I'm not saying this is a real commercial, but this guy seems very straightforward about it. He says, have you seen this new one? A McDonald's coffee or iced coffee spot where the tagline is something like, some like it cold, and then it shows a man's nipples becoming hard.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Okay, but that's not real.
It's the McDonald's iced coffee commercial?
Yeah. Where they show the hardening of a man's nipples?
Yeah, it's really creepy.
Really?
And the girl leaves the room, and he's like, I like it hot. And she's like, I like it cold. And then she turns the temperature way down. Like, she turns it down a little bit.
They're battling over the thermostat.
Yeah, and then he watches her walking out of the room, and then he's like, and turns it down completely, and then his nipples get all hard.
Ah! How do they depict his nipples getting hard?
He's wearing, like, this light blue shirt. I don't know, like, some kind of silky, like, Scotty J shirt.
I don't even know how I feel about that.
It's not very graphic. I think they might be hard before they cut to him. I don't think you see them growing.
I don't want to have this discussion anymore.
For the children.
Making me feel weird. We've gotten away from the original point of that phone call, which is to determine whether the old guy in the milking commercial is the guy who played Rhoda's dad. So we'll try to figure that out. Here's Tim Riley.
13 chihuahuas were among the passengers of a truck that crossed over I-84 about 2 miles east of Troutdale, hit a power pole, and then damaged some railroad tracks. It happened yesterday. The truck was towing a semi-trailer driven by a man from Compton, Arkansas. He was westbound when he crossed through the grass with him and headed eastbound. The truck struck a power pole, then collided with railroad tracks. The driver has broken ribs, and he's been given a ticket for careless driving, failure to maintain the driver's logbook, and expired medical card. Why, he may have been fatigued. His passenger was his wife, who was in a sleeper berth. She wasn't hurt. And the 13 Chihuahuas are just fine.
Who has 13? Oh, they weren't being sold or something. They didn't own 13 Chihuahuas?
They're Chihuahua connoisseurs.
Okay.
This is from Florida.
Oh.
You son of a bitch. Aha!
That was me.
That was
all
not
me
you.
Is what that was.
That's a lie.
All right.
Multiple bags of human remains have been found near a river.
They were all happy about it, and then you follow it up with the oop there.
This is near Oskala Parkway and Boggy Creek Road.
Boggy Creek.
A man and his son were driving down a dirt road to go fishing. They tell us that not one, but several bags of human remains, possibly multiple bags remain.
Multiple bags remain at the scene.
They're now trying to determine how long the remains have been on the dirt road. Deputies have sealed
it
out.
Remains to be seen.
The investigation is continuing.
Remains to be seen. Come on! Fine.
Dateline Orange County, Florida. A man shot in the back while he was filling his car with gas, drove himself to the hospital. Investigators say the man was hit in the back by a bullet at a gas station. The victim stumbled inside the station, asked for help, and then went back outside and finished pumping gas.
They're a can-do people. They're a heartier breed down there.
Well, for something a gallon, you want to finish the job. Then he drove himself to a hospital before police could arrive. They think they know who pulled the trigger, and the rest is on its way.
This email says, Rick, you know, you were talking about the temperature. There are continents worth of people used to average summer temperatures in the 120 to 130 degree range. It's called the Middle East. Take your head out of your ass. Yeah, but that's why everybody there's so angry. That's why everybody just wants to shoot people constantly.
And they're part of that crazy religion.
I was just going to say. And then people delirious from the heat, and they think Jesus is speaking to them. Or so they think God is looking down and telling them to live in a parking lot somewhere.
And how smart are they? It's a million degrees, and they dress in black.
Let me color every square inch of my body in cloth and then stand outside in the sand.
Make sure it's black.
Seriously.
Because the man in the sky says so.
Can't we move somewhere cooler? No, an invisible man told us we have to live here, and we have to kill anyone who tries to kick us out of here and make us live somewhere cooler. And whatever you say. All right.
Then we have the problem of troops not having enough body armor, so Suffolk County in New York is donating hundreds of pieces of body armor to American troops serving in Afghanistan. The county will provide 450 ballistic vests to the 69th Infantry of the New York National Guard. Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy says the vests have been turned in by police officers, and they used to protect the soldiers' vehicles. Levy says the extra protection is needed by all who are serving overseas.
We have a number of Suffolk County police officers who are veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts. They saw firsthand the need for extra armor due to the numerous roadside bombs that they might encounter.
I think we're going to throw this army away anyway.
Rather than taking our police bulletproof vests that would be discarded every 7 years, we'll take those vests and give them to our soldiers so that they can line the bottom and the sides of their armored vehicles for that little extra protection that just might save someone's life.
That the government will not provide.
Let's see here. We'll get Jared in a second. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Steve.
Hey, yeah, according to the, in that Skittles commercial, the actor's name is David Groh, and he was Rhoda's husband.
So there you go. Question answered. So the guy in the milking commercial is the guy from Rhoda.
And I Wikipedia'd him, and it says here he went to Great Britain on a Fulbright scholarship. He graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Brown University, and now he's having himself milked.
And now his teats are being milked mechanically for us all to laugh at.
Have a great day, Rick.
Thank you, sir. That is the fickle finger of fate at work right there. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Best show ever.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, before I left California, where I watched my friends get pitchforked and moved to Colorado, where I watched them get struck by lightning, I lived in Vegas for a month.
Whoa, hold on. What? Before you left California, where your friend was pitchforked?
Where my friends would jump in the levees and land on pitchforks.
Okay, all right. Let's move forward now, and?
I spent a month in Las Vegas with a good friend of mine from high school.
Uh-huh.
And his wife was a managing agent for one of their little lounge acts that they had there.
Right.
Well, he made this point to me. We rolled up to a I think it was the Bellagio, got our van valet parked, pulled a enormous amplifier out of this back of his van and wheeled it through the casino. Now, while we're wheeling through the casino, he looks at me and he says, "Dude, like, no one's even talked to us." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "We could have a nuclear weapon in this thing.
Oh,
we
yeah,
could have 5 tons of TNT wheeling right into the middle of this casino."
You know, in Vegas, they're so intent. Don't get me wrong. I love Vegas. But they're so intent on making sure that you can get freely from place to place to gamble and lose your money to the casino. That's why you can walk in without security. You can walk in without being patted down.
You know, even the valet guy didn't even ask us where we were going or how long.
Then you walk on the street with a big thing of Jack Daniels in your hand. Doesn't even matter. Here's a fun fact. You go back and you watch the movie Swingers with Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. You watch Swingers, and there's that whole sequence at the blackjack table where they're filming. They film that whole sequence where they're doubling down with the $500 that he doesn't have, and they lose all the money or whatever, and they're at they don't realize they're at the 500 minimum bet table. Anyway, they filmed all of that without a permit. They just went in with a camera crew and just film some crap at the blackjack table, completely and totally without a permit. And if you look in the background, there's a security guy sort of idly staring at them, kind of waiting to talk to them later. That's a real security guy who was just letting them film. Didn't really stop them, talked about it later, but didn't really stop them from doing it. They walked in with the whole camera crew. Nobody said anything.
I've known this guy for 15 years, and I he's what we call a kept man, meaning his wife. He doesn't work.
Yes.
And his wife's miserable. And when he says this to me, I'm thinking like, oh my God, like this is it, right?
That's always a lot of fun too. When that's like that sequence in that's like that sequence in Annie Hall, I think, where Christopher was speaking to Christopher Walken, where Woody Allen is being driven home at night by Christopher Walken, who is driving, and Christopher Walken is driving the car late at night, and Christopher Walken starts doing this monologue about how, "Do you ever just think you're depressed? You want to end it all? You wouldn't jerk the wheel into the oncoming lane and all my problems are over."
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, thank you, sir. There you go. That's Jared. God bless him. That's Jared. Thank you, my friend. Yeah, you could, Matt, you could, there's a huge bag full of plutonium into one of those casinos. They wouldn't stop you at all. Here's Tim Riley.
Health officials in Rhode Island and Massachusetts have issued a warning about tainted toothpaste. Not only shouldn't you use made-in-China toothpaste, but don't use any that's made in South Africa. Also, don't use toothpaste that's not printed in English. Officials say they all have antifreeze in them, so just put it directly in your radiator. Among the brands, Cool Dent, Dentaclean, Dentaclean Junior for children, Everfresh toothpaste, Super Dent, Oral Bright, and Dr. Cool.
Dr. Kill. Dentaclean Junior for children. I wonder if that's a different flavor of antifreeze. I wonder if that's antifreeze with little sparkly stars in it or something. That's an antifreeze with a refreshing taste of bubble gum.
It's Mick antifreeze.
tainted toothpaste. Because you don't want that taint in your mouth. Ha ha ha.
No.
Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, you know that Al Gore thing is going to be on all over the place. I was just looking at this. NBC's broadcasting highlights at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Bravo will broadcast it for 18 hours.
Oh, of course they will.
From 9 a.m. till 3 in the morning, the Sundance Channel and Universal HD will offer 22 hours of live coverage, and Telemundo will have a one-hour special at 7 o'clock. Then Telemundo, 2 hours.
Know what channels to avoid. Telemundo, that sucks, because that means I won't get to watch Sábado Gigante, which is the best program on television.
Mm-hmm.
I speak like 5 words of Spanish. I know enough to order myself a large horchata and some fries. That's about it. Sábado Gigante is the greatest program in the history of the world. Someday when I am president, every program on television will be modeled after Sábado Gigante.
Well, Britney Spears has made a bizarre apology. As she apologized for attacking a photographer's car with an umbrella in February, saying that at the time she was preparing to try out for a movie part and got carried away.
Now, this is the Britney Spears moment famously parodied by Sarah Dillon in the intro video to Listener Party 10, where Britney is bald, wearing a bad, ill-fitting, like, sweatshirt and white shorts, and then runs out and whacks on an SUV with an umbrella.
Yeah, she shaved her head, had some new tats, and was seen partying hard in Los Angeles clubs. So she says, quote, this is a handwritten note. It's available online to see if you want to. I apologize to the PAP. I don't know what that means.
To the PAP?
To the PAP. For a stunt that was done 4 months ago regarding an umbrella, Britney said in a statement posted on her website.
4 months ago? That was longer than that.
I was preparing for my role, spelled R-O-L-L, in a movie where the husband never plays his part, so they switch places accidentally.
I'm preparing for a cruller in a film.
I take all my roles, R-O-L-L-S, very seriously and got a little carried away.
My roles.
Unfortunately, I didn't get the part.
I don't... Okay. A, didn't it seem like that was more than 4 months ago?
Yes.
Seems like forever ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that huge, you know, segment, well, small segment in time with Brittany and Anna Nicole Smith.
Did that all happen in 1 week with her and the head shaving and the umbrella and
close.
Going into rehab?
Way back when.
Jesus, how time flies. She's preparing for her roles, R-O-L-L-S.
Yeah.
Which she did not get. Is the note handwritten? Is it all, like backward letters? Written in crayon, like, with a big sad face at the bottom and, like, a stick figure holding an umbrella? That's wonderful. And, like, a big sun at the other in the corner. That's great. Here's a question. What does paparazzi mean? Is that a made-up term?
I believe that's an Italian term.
What does it mean? Does it mean
crazy photographers or something?
Or something? That's one of those terms that I don't really understand. I don't really understand what it means. It's just one of those things that we've all started. And then
have you ever heard of that horrible movie called Paparazzi?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. It is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Is it intentionally
hilarious?
It's about
super stalker paparazzi, you know, and the victims.
Speaking of which, whatever happened to that show Dirt on FX that had Courtney Cox and her idiot husband?
I don't think anybody ever watched it.
No,
took it away and made no announcement.
I never watched that Dirt. There was no show called Dirt. Look over there. Look, a shiny thing. Look, Rescue Me's back. I never watched a single episode, and now I don't think I'll ever have the chance to. Well, what can you do?
All right, so it says the etymology of paparazzi comes from 1960s movie from the name of the photographer in the film, La Dolce Vita.
Oh, yeah, famous movie.
Okay, but so it was named after a particular guy. That's interesting. I thought it was a real word. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Americans will soon eat food labeled China-free. These are foods that do not use ingredients that come from China, and they intend to advertise that fact.
The whole country just being tainted. The
plans call for a China-free sticker to appear on vitamins, pet supplies, and whole food shakes. It's only three things. The advertisements are in response to the recent scares. Well, they're not scares, they're realities. regarding food from China.
And by scares, they mean the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of tubes of toothpaste filled with things that will kill your children slowly. We should start
more than a scare.
Let's start advertising that this program is 100% Chinese free. There's no Chinese products involved in this show. Good God. China free, really?
Yep.
I don't even think that's linguistically correct, by
China
the way.
China free.
China free. Didn't China free sound like some sort of Asian tooth whitening secret? You may wonder why Asian people have such white teeth. Try China free. What's that commercial? It's some weird, it's like a face product. And the woman, there's an Asian spokesperson for it, and she comes on, and she starts up by saying one of those, I wish I could remember what the product is, called Pearl Cream or something, and it's like something like that. It's like Pearl something, and like, it's not Pearl Jam, clearly, but it's a thing like that. Creamy Pearl. This all sounds so wrong, but it is a name very much like that. It's some weird, awkward, suggestive-sounding name, but it's an Asian woman who comes on. And you know she's Asian, well, because she's Asian, and also because they put her in a kimono, and then they play that one, like, ding, 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 you know, that weird, plucky string music that they must use for all Asian things everywhere in every movie.
If they can't find a gong.
Exactly. If they can't find a gong or David Carradine, and they use, it's like a weird, overly tuned harp. And she comes on, and she opens the infomercial with this statement that... It's one of those statements that, like, you don't really know if it's true or not, but I just, because the infomercial said that it's true and I have no evidence to
combat
it.
But Asian people do have credibility. They've been around longer than we have.
Because they're wise.
Yes, they are.
I do, because I have no information with which to rebut her statement, I must accept it as true. She starts the infomercial by saying, you may have noticed, and she has a fake accent, I think. She says, you may have noticed, it is very difficult to tell how old an Asian woman is. And I'm sitting there on the sofa watching this infomercial. And again, I have no evidence with which to combat that statement, so I must accept it as true. So yes, apparently it is true. It is impossible to tell how old an Asian woman is, apparently. And then she says, that is because of Pearl Cream. And she holds up like a can. And there you go. So answers, it's an ancient Chinese secret, apparently. So there you go. The end. What I did on my summer vacation. Rick Emerson, age 5. Let's do one more and then we'll break here.
News for ladies. This is the year of the dress. That, according to a retail company, NPD, which says dress sales have topped $5 billion the 12 months ending in April, a 30% gain from a year ago. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer says past dress sales would spike every few years, but this year's demand is the highest in 10 years.
Did women stop wearing dresses at some point?
Apparently, younger market wears dresses to reveal as much as they can, while the older women wear it to show off or hide their shape.
This is stupid.
Women
this is
are
a
tired
made up
of the relaxed look and want to look more professional.
This is a made-up thing. Sarah, do the young people wear dresses to show off as much as they can?
Not my friends.
This is from Seattle.
Well, yeah. I know, like, you've seen the 16-year-old girls running around in nothing but, you know, little strips of cloth.
That's not true. I don't notice those girls. I don't notice 16-year-old girls in any way. Not in any way do I notice those girls. They don't even appear to me. It's sort of like how the peoples of Easter Island couldn't see those big statues. Or Indians couldn't see ships on the horizon. I do not see 16-year-old girls. They don't even appear. My ocular senses don't even detect them until they become legal. All right. Oh, wait, is this the...
Please, Mr. Lee? Ancient Chinese secret.
This is the actual... No, I didn't realize that the ancient Chinese secret was Calgon.
I thought it was Ginkoba or whatever that was.
No, this is the... is that what this is? Was this the... was the ancient Chinese secret, was that Calgon, Tim?
I don't remember it.
I thought Calgon was...
I get my ancient Chinese secrets all confused. I used to keep a Rolodex of them. They just became too numerous to update.
Have you seen my ancient Chinese secret number 54? It's the one about how to get tomato stains out. No? You have any club soda? Crap.
Okay. Well, the ancient... Oh, we have to break. The ancient Chinese... Why do we always have to break when something fantastic is happening? This conversation is priceless. The ancient Chinese secret... Which, of course, you have to say, ancient Chinese secret, eh? It's one of those things that I think my cultural knowledge has become so meta, as the kids say these days, that I now only know it as, like, a catchphrase. I think I've actually forgotten what commercial it was actually from. I didn't think it was Calgon. I thought that Calgon was the, where there was the sexually frustrated housewife with the husband who ignored her and the kid she wishes she'd aborted. And it was a lot of, like, Calgon, take me away. And then she's in the bath thinking about some alternate reality in which she's single and having sex with some guy at a disco. Or, you know, whatever. Let's see, is that what, No, I can't seem to find the, Okay, I swear to God, I put in the phrase to YouTube, I put in ancient Chinese secret commercial. And I swear to God, one of the four results I got back was a video showing me the link between Masons, Jews, and Satanism. That's one of the five results I got back from the phrase ancient Chinese secret commercial. This is a weird world we live in. There's just no sense to be made of anything anymore. All right, it's a bunch of savages in this town. We should break. Let's break. We'll come back. We'll reveal the ancient Chinese secret. Plus, we'll talk to Jim Roop. That'll be fun. Won't that be fun?
Yes.
Vanilla Ice coming up later on as well, kids. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, I remember seeing the Ancient Chinese Secret commercial as a young slip of a youth when it originally aired. I could be wrong, but I believe Calgon was also a laundry detergent. In the commercial, a woman walks into a dry cleaning establishment. She asks how the stereotypical Chinese owner managed to get the clothes so clean. The camera pans down to a box of Calgon on the back counter as he says, quote,
"Is it Calgon take me away?"
Well, but I guess apparently there was a Calgon detergent, which then maybe they did what Al Reese would call line extension. They then used the brand name and made a Calgon bath. Or maybe the product just didn't work as a detergent and they just started selling it as a bath product. Anyway, and then he said, Ancient Chinese Secret. Michael. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles! Singing and radio correspondent to the stars and living deity, James Roop. Hello, sir.
Howdy. Happy Friday.
Thank you, my friend. How are things in the city that is the thing with the deal and the angels and the whole? How are you?
Guys.
Yeah.
It's a little cooler today than it has been.
Dude, it's 100,
95 degrees.
It's 127 degrees in Death Valley.
Yeah, how about that's why they call it that.
That's weird. And, you
know, still there are a lot, and I know several people who love to go there this time of year in vacation.
Just so they can say, well, I was vacationing in Death Valley.
And to get away from all the crap, because nobody else goes. It's like this handful of people.
I suppose that is true. It is probably, you're probably not going to be fighting for a parking space.
Nope.
There is a place, did you know this, that there is a place in Death Valley called Darwin Falls?
I believe it.
And this guy was talking to us earlier. He's like, yeah, I knew a guy who died at Darwin Falls in Death Valley. And really, it's like you forfeit all right to complain about that. You know what I mean? When you're up there and Jesus is looking in the big book and Jesus says, so, you appear to be a colossal fool. You've, Why didst thou go to Darwin Falls in Death Valley? All right. So this is, well, I mean, do you get what it's like? Was it Palmdale or something? It was like 113 or some crap?
Yeah,
it'll
be about 109 there today. So again, it is cooling down a little bit. But it truly is, and I know people joke about this a lot, but it's a dry heat. So when it's 106, it feels like it's 98. Not that that makes much difference.
Seriously, I'm sure that makes all the difference if you're sitting there wishing you were dead.
But you don't sweat as much. You know, it's not that humid, you know, start sweating from the beginning. The problem is, it's just nearly unbearably hot. It starts, the sun comes up at 9 o'clock, there's no cloud cover, so it just beats the crap out of everything. And by the time it's 1 or 2 o'clock, you've had it.
Oh, I know. No, it just beats you down and saps your will to live. For me, here's the one thing about the heat. It makes me grumpy. And I know that everybody says the heat makes them grumpy, but, you know, there's some people who thrive on it. I know a lot of people who love it when it gets really hot. The heat just makes me into a colossal jerk. I just become so testy about everything. I mean, it just so... I remember my wife and I, when we moved from Salt Lake City to Southern California. And the first couple nights we stayed in Southern California, let me just describe to you the worst night on earth. We drive all the way from Salt Lake City in like rented U-Hauls, no air conditioning. So we're driving across Salt Lake City and driving through, I guess, Nevada we had to go through or whatever. And we're just driving all the way.
I've made that drive several times.
Yeah, so you know what it's bad. Driving into Southern California, it's like August or something, end of July. Hotter than blazes, as they say. Unbelievably warm. We get there. We don't have any place to live yet. The hotel, there's no room at the inn. We end up staying with a couple that we know in Southern California. We end up staying with some friends of ours. We're having to stay in their guest bedroom. We're hot. We're tired. The truck at one point broke down, so I've got grease on my hands because I was trying to fix something somewhere on the truck that needed to be fixed. We get to this place. We're staying with this couple that didn't really know we were going to be coming there. We're sleeping in their guest bedroom. There's no air conditioning. The ceiling fan is broken. And by the way, they own 6 cats. So there's me. It's like 104 degrees. There's no air conditioning. The air in the room is absolutely still because there's no ceiling fan. And the stores are closed, so I can't find a fan. And everything is covered in cat dander, and I don't have any allergy medication.
They are lucky you didn't have a gun.
Seriously, and I said to my wife, I'm like, this is it. I'm like, I'm going to kill someone. We have to get out of here tomorrow. I don't care how far into credit card debt we have to go. We're finding a hotel room. I will not stay here another night. I will kill someone.
That's right.
So it's a bad... So, you know, as hot as it can sometimes get here in Portland, Oregon, and it does get kind of hot, and it does, yes, get humid here. I have no room to complain. I will never complain about the heat the way that I did when I lived in a place like that. It was just unreal. And growing up in a desert, I should have been prepared for, but it just, you can't, You forget about it, too. You just like I managed to forget about the rainy season every year here until November, and then suddenly I'm like, oh, yeah, it turns into Noah's Ark time, you know, about like 5 months. I forget about it, just like you forget about the heat. And then it comes back, and oh, yeah, remember how much last year I wanted to kill myself? Yeah. So there you go.
I feel for you, man.
Yeah, we can do. Hey, so so what's going on with your did they fire that television reporter who was giving it up to the mayor?
She's on paid leave.
I want to get on
investigate
paid leave.
Alleged journalistic ethics breaches.
Was she was she covering the mayor?
The mayor was covering her. Maybe a little both.
Was she reporting on the mayor while she was having this relationship with him?
Well, she was the one, according to her, anyway. 11 months ago, she asked her bosses to take her off the political beat. She didn't say she was having an affair with the governor. She just right. wanted to be taken off that beat. The other, when the news broke and the governor admitted he was the governor, the mayor admitted he was having an affair, she broke the news on her station, calling it a political travesty.
Right.
She did not want to read the copy. I'm being told this from colleagues that I know who know her. She didn't want to read the copy. She was asked by her bosses, why, are you having an affair with the mayor? He said, no, I just don't want to read the copy. Read the copy. It's news. I don't want to read the copy. Are you having an affair with the mayor? No. Read the copy. I don't want to read the copy. Are you having an affair with the mayor? No. Read the copy. She read the copy, and all these allegations started coming out, and all this probing started to go on. So and a lot of finger pointing, and a lot of people in the community, both every ethnic community, from African Americans to Latino Americans, they're saying, hey, this is a problem. This mayor, you know, he's a family guy, supposedly. Now, how are we going to trust him now? Let's find out what this is all about. So Telemundo says, all right, we're going to put this lady on administrative leave and investigate this and see if we're going to fire her. There are people, political science teachers at UC and so on and so forth, that are saying they can't possibly see how she can keep her job. That is a flagrant violation of journalistic ethics that they've ever seen. So who knows what's going to happen? This is a very interesting story. It shall develop, and we shall see how it develops.
It's a good time to be you, Jim Roop.
It is, because Spectre was on hold this week. So at least we had something else.
It was almost like
you got to love this mayor.
It was like a little gift to you from the mayor himself.
I should thank him, but I haven't seen him. He hasn't been around.
I was just going to say, is he just sort of in the house with the blinds drawn?
And here's a guy who is the biggest camera hound ever. I mean, it's a microphone and a camera, man. He's all over you. He has 1, 2, 3 events a day. We haven't seen him in days. He never came out on the 4th of July, and politicians can't get enough FaceTime on the 4th
of
July. He did not go to the opening of Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign headquarters here in Los Angeles. He's the national co-chair for campaign. The big chicken. Hey, man,
okay.
Via Regosa.
That's fantastic. God bless you, sir. All right, my friend. Stay cool this weekend. Enjoy your...
I've never liked that guy.
I'm sensing that. My finely tuned journalistic antennae are picking up on that fact.
Well, you're more perceptive than most, sir.
Well, I mean, did you just know from the beginning that the guy was a weasel? Or?
Yeah, well... First of all, I mean, and this all came out when he was campaigning. We were all asking him about, because he has 2 adult children with 2 other relationships.
Sure.
He has, you know, he and his current wife, when he was Speaker of the House, were having a lot of problems. There was rumors he was having an affair then. And so when he was doing all this family stuff, we were asking him about that. Hey, what about your past? Are you through with that? Is it over? You know, are you still the philanderer that you were? Blah, blah, blah. You know, he ignored all of that, and here it is.
Yeah.
You know? You can take an idiot out of the village, but you can't, or you can take the, whatever. He's still the village idiot.
All right, my friend, enjoy your weekend. As always, it is beyond a pleasure. We'll talk to you very soon. Jim, you enjoy your days off.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Jim Roof, stay cool, brother, in Los Angeles. I love that guy. He's a little drunk.
He totally just sounded like Cheesy Rita guy. Jim, you're always a pleasure.
Well, no, I'm trying to keep it together. I'm trying not to laugh while I say goodbye to him. I don't know. There's a little bit of heat stroke and booze going on there, I think, in gym land.
I just saw that. I thought you'd find that.
Thank
yeah,
you
it's
so
a little.
Much.
It's in somebody's hand too. Aww.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I found the Calgon thing, by the way. Hold on a second. Where's the, let's see. Here we go. I think this may be the Calgon Ancient Chinese Secret commercial. Okay, hold on a second. Let's see here. All right. Oh, is my computer up? All right, here we go.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese Secret.
This is just embarrassing. Let's listen to that again, shall we?
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese Secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his Ancient Chinese Secret.
Okay. This is really awful. They and then, of course, in the back, there, of course, Mr. Lee's wife, who works in the back behind a curtain, I guess he's not allowed to come out front or speak to the customers. I guess she's not allowed to look the white man in the face or something during these commercials. This is really awful.
With Calgon. Calgon's two water softeners soften wash water so detergents clean better. In hardest water, Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. We need more Calgon. Ancient Chinese Secret, huh?
Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30%
cleaner.
Oh,
did Mr. Lee get
his?
Mr. Lee looked discernibly sheepish there at the end. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
What am I thinking of with the Calgon Take
You're thinking
Me Away.
Of Calgon Take Me Away, which was... hold on. Take Me Away.
Oh, I'm going to find it.
Oh, internal server error.
Ah!
Oh, PC load letter. Calgon Take Me Away was like, again, it was like a housewife who hated her life. And she wanted the, and it was like where she, it was like a baby yelling or something. Here we go. I've got it right here. So this is the Calgon Take Me Away commercial. Oh, I think I've hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. Let me try this again. All right. Let's try this again. Here's the, this may or may not. No, this isn't it either. Why are things labeled Calgon Take Me Away, and then it's just a static shot of a, it's just a static shot of a car wash? Well, that just doesn't make any sense. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take these calls, and we'll break. We'll come back with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, does that mayor of Los Angeles look like any commander of a precinct on The Shield?
Now, I have not seen what Mayor Villaraigosa looks like. Now, are you comparing him, appearance-wise, to David Acevedo?
Yes.
Now, are you talking about the way he looks, or are you talking about his actions?
Well, a little bit of both.
I don't know. I mean, David Acevedo, who was the former captain on The Shield and is now, I guess, a city commissioner, is just a weasel, just a real slimy bastard. I mean, just a terrible person on that show. Maybe not a terrible person, but very, very politically shifty and just sort of a snake oil salesman.
He'd fit right in with some of the folks in our administration now, wouldn't he?
I suppose. All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, there you go. This guy wants to know if the Latina reporter is hot. Well, she's got to be. I mean, she's either a TV reporter in Los Angeles. She's got to be hot. I mean, that's one of the second most competitive radio market in the entire country. I mean, she's got to be just... And plus, you figure he's the mayor, you know. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do a couple more here, then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. You have a Calgon observation.
Well, sir, you can't, of course, be expected to remember every call, but it was about 13 months ago that I called you as a pop culture reference and queried you about that self-same commercial, the Calgon one, and I feel satisfied now knowing the brand. That was my question way back when. I just wanted to say thank you.
So 13 months after the fact, we've answered a question for you.
Do you remember that a year ago? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I remember
crazy,
every
I'd like
second
to say
of
that guy in Hermiston this morning was lying when he said that it was just Monday, part five. It is indeed Friday. Tim Riley rules. Friday, I got horse steak. International hand milking champion. Thank you.
I heard something about horse steak?
I lost the thread about halfway through that call, and I never was able to get it back. I have no idea. Hi. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I'm trying to remember that laundry detergent that had Marilyn Chambers on the cover.
Ivory soap, sir.
Ivory, yeah, and it had Brooke Shields as the baby.
No, I don't think that's right.
I thought she was the baby in the copper tone.
No, see, I think that's wrong, too. I don't think either of those is true. Well, okay, we're confusing a whole bunch of things.
Uh-oh.
Ivory, let's stop here. Ivory soap, which was a flaked detergent in a box,
for a while was advertised, the woman who was the face of Ivory Soap was Marilyn Chambers, who gained fame in the pornographic film, the Mitchell Brothers pornographic film Behind the Green Door, which Scotty inadvertently referred to yesterday when he was Scotty Jane, Behind the Green Curtain. Behind the Green Door, which is a famous porn film starring Marilyn Chambers, and there are boxes of Ivory detergent. You can find them on eBay and so forth. I mean, they're thousands of dollars now because they had to pull them off the shelves and they realized their commercial or the detergent was being hawked by a porn star. I don't believe that the baby in Ivory Soap or Ivory Snow or whatever is Brooke Shields, nor do I believe she was the Coppertone girl, but I'm kind of bluffing on that. I don't really know the answer to that.
That's what I heard years ago, but I've seen one of the porns that she made, and she opens up the closet, and there's a box there, and she kind of looks at it, and she gives it a funny look like, you know, who's that?
So Marilyn Chambers referenced it in a later porn film?
Yeah.
You know, here's the weird thing about it. Behind the Green Door is such a famous porn film. But you know what? I don't even really remember what Marilyn Chambers looks like. Was she hot?
No.
He says without hesitation, no.
She's okay, but things are starting to droop. She's good, I think.
All right. Thank you, sir.
These days are much, much better.
No, it's true. No, that is really true.
Yeah.
Porn stars from back then are not all that great. Porn stars in the 90s, in my opinion, kind of got bad because it's all silicone fake looking. Now, in like the last 4 or 5 years, really, and I don't mean to sound like a sleazy guy talking a lot about porn, but really, no, seriously, but I mean, what are you going to do? I am what I am.
What are you going to say?
You know, years ago in porn, it was sort of like you just had to take whatever you could get, I guess, as far as women who were willing to act in porn.
Yeah.
Porn has become so mainstream and acceptable now. There are really, truly beautiful women. I don't mean like fake beautiful either. Like really, truly attractive women working in porn now. It's a strange thing.
I think the thing is that there's big money in it now. So.
Well, yeah, and there's no longer the same stigma that there used to be. It's not like you want to tell your parents about it necessarily, but it's like Jenna Jameson had like a New York Times best-selling book. She had a billboard in Times Square.
Right.
It's a good time to be a man, Bill.
It is.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. Yeah, there's girls in porn now are really genuinely, truly pretty. That didn't used to be the case. It used to be it's just like if she had all of her limbs, you know, that was enough.
Thank you, Kristen, in accounting. Jodie Foster was the Coppertone baby.
With the dog pulling down the underwear? You know, you probably couldn't do that now. There'd probably be some freaky parent group.
Oh, totally.
It's pedophiles! Have you seen that weird ad campaign that they're doing in, like, Baltimore, Maryland? And it's a whole ad campaign, and I suppose it's to try to cut down on maybe child abduction or something. Maybe that's a big problem. But the whole billboard, it's a creepy billboard. It shows, like, an adult, presumably male hand, and then he's holding, like, the hand of a small child, presumably a girl, because it's, like, a pink sleeve. So it's, like, an adult male hand holding a small girl's hand. And then the caption on the billboard is something like, "It just doesn't look right." And then, like, a phone number, which is just kind of weird. I mean, I wonder how many guys are going to get the cops called on them because they're walking down the street with their daughter and some blue-haired busybody decides that it's time to test out the new cop speed dial function on her cell phone. It's a strange thing. Maryland's a weird place. Do we have to break?
Yes.
All right, we're going to break here. Tim Riley, have we exciting news around the corner?
Oh, yes.
Okay. 503-733-2970. Back after this, plus sometime in the next hour, Mr. Vanilla Ice joining us on the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there.
And where are you from?
Around.
Around?
Yep.
But that doesn't tell me very much.
Doesn't it? It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at anyway. And right now I'm here with you, Cat.
Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I'm gonna make that a wacky Donna Mike type liner. Dumping zeros and getting with heroes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Scotty, will you please come to the studio?
Oh, I have a new sounder from Aaron. for Scotty.
Do we? Oh, wait, let's get Scotty in here. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Scott, wait, hold on, but let's play his sounder, and then we'll bring him up.
I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over. Things the way I want it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want the stats.
Scotty, do you like boats?
I just caught part of that. What is it?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. This is Scotty J. Hi, Scotty.
How's it going, Rick?
What's the latest with Vanilla Ice?
The latest is I just got a hold of Mr. Ice's posse, rather.
Now, here's the
his crew.
Hold on, but let's have a serious discussion about this right now.
I don't know how to be serious.
I wasn't looking at you. By let's, I meant the people in the room who aren't you.
Oh.
How do we introduce him? I mean, do you just call him Vanilla?
Well, I can't.
I don't mean, I'm not trying to do a stupid radio bit. I'm really, honestly, what do you
Why
call him?
Why don't you
him?
Say Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice?
Okay, I understand that. But, like, what if he was across the room and, like, he had, like, toilet paper stuck to his shoe and you had to point it out?
Maybe he goes by Robbie.
That's kind of how I feel when I talk to Fat Boy. I hate calling him Fat Boy.
I hate calling him Fat Boy.
Like, excuse me, Fat Boy, can I get...
And I don't want to call him Mr. Ice. That's just dumb.
Fat Boy?
No, let's start calling him Mr. Ice. Pardon me, Mr. Ice. I mean, really, honestly, like, if a follow-up question, if I want to use his name, what do you suppose people refer to him as?
You should ask him.
That, I am. You know, I'm really, honestly, that's a good idea, Sarah. Let's just expose the, pull back the curtain with him.
Maybe they call him V.I. Joe.
We'll have to ask his people to be sure. Can we get some cricket sound effects, please? All right, Scotty. So, and what is the deal with Mr. Ice?
In 15 to 20 minutes, they will give us a prep call. I mean, this is big.
You had a call a few minutes ago to tell us that you're going to have a pre-call later?
Yes.
And then when is the actual call going to happen?
The actual call will happen after the prep call.
So it's kind of like
the
a practice
prep call,
call.
Yes, exactly. The prep call is to announce when the real call will be.
So you don't even know how long after the prep call the real call is going to
be? It could be a couple hours. I mean, I have no
idea. I'll
call
you at 5. Okay. Do you have anything else to share with us while you're here?
Yes, there's about a 30% chance of ice today.
There's a 100% chance of ice tomorrow, Scotty.
Are you going to the show tomorrow, Scotty? Where are you going? Come back here.
Are you going to see Mr. Ice tomorrow?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you know, you can bring up the fact his birthday is on Halloween.
Is it?
It sure is.
Scotty's?
Yeah. Fat Boys.
It's a dark day. Hey, you do need to ask him what, you know, get past the one-hit wonder of the Ice Ice Baby thing and see what he's been up to.
Let's list right now the most uncomfortable questions we could ask him. Just get him out of the way.
Did you really get dangled by your ankles by Suge Knight?
Balcony.
Yeah. Right. Secondly, did you really rip off that song in the Ice Ice Baby, or can you please to be explaining to us how your beat changes?
Yeah, how can you sleep at night knowing that you stole from Queen?
I wonder if he's listening right now.
He's not listening.
Okay. You're going to think that until he beats you down.
He's like, I was going to be a phone-in. I'm going down to the studio now.
I had to put a bitch down.
Did the eyebrow thing start as an accident? Did he really have a mental breakdown when he was on This Real Life? I have all these uncomfortable questions.
No, that's a great question, though. Mm. And I have the question about his appearance on MTV. Well, you saw that thing when he smashed up the thing on MTV. Yeah. I want to know, like, was he really freaking out?
I think he was trying to, he was like, showing the mature side on The Surreal Life.
How high of a level does his education go?
Oh, I think he's acknowledged he's a dropout. I don't think he's a high school graduate.
He just seems...
Yes? Seems what, nothing. Sarah?
No, I'm afraid he's going to kill me.
What do you think of Rocky Balboa's ex? Or, you know, Sylvester Stallone's ex.
What?
What do you think of Stallone's ex? She was Bridget. She was on The Surreal Life with
Oh,
him.
Brigitte Nielsen. Yeah. I did not watch that. I never saw him on The Surreal Life.
I did.
All right.
He was kind of a mess.
I'd say he was the most together next to Jeremy. Or, is his name Jeremy?
Are you talking about Ron
Jeremy?
Yeah,
Ron Jeremy. Those two were the most together on that whole show.
No, I think Ron Jeremy and Tammy Faye Baker were.
Moving forward. Okay. I'm just fine, and we do have to get to the news here, because this whole thing is run amok. I really am tempted, though, to ask him the Suge Knight question.
Oh, don't.
I know.
I want to know.
That's the one thing I want
to
know.
Everybody wants to know. That's why it's a legend, because nobody knows.
And what about all the production stuff he does behind the scenes
He wasn't in the Bloodhound Gang. Scotty's insisting he's a member of the Bloodhound Gang. Okay.
We got to find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley. sorry. It was just never going to end.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, ice around. Willie Nelson is in Salem as we speak.
Damn!
Scotty, get him on the phone.
Oh, I completely forgot that the drive-by truckers are tonight.
Who are they?
They're opening for Willie Nelson, but they have a club show tonight. They're playing a show at some smaller place tonight. Mm. No, in fact, it's not. It's at the Wonder Ballroom. It's probably
Willie Nelson's playing at the Wonder Ballroom.
No, Willie Nelson is playing at Clark County. But he has a bunch of opening acts, like alt country acts, like the old 97s and the Drive By Truckers. And the Drive By Truckers have a standalone show tonight. I'm pretty sure it's tonight. And I completely forgot about it. God, I hope it's not sold out. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Salem to put his blessing on the groundbreaking of the Sequential Pacific biodiesel plant. Nelson has long been an advocate of an alternative biodiesel fuel produced not from a single crop such as corn, but instead a variety of local sources. From the Northwest, that means canola oil and recycled cooking oil from restaurants and food processors like Burgerville and Kettle Foods. He arrived at the plant in a biodiesel-powered bus. His people say, Willie says, Oregon has always been progressive in its thinking and has been out front in every one of these major issues.
Can you imagine how much weed gets given to Willie Nelson when he comes to Portland? Yeah. When Willie Nelson comes to Oregon, can you imagine?
Nothing but the best.
How long do you suppose it's been since Willie Nelson had to buy marijuana? I mean, I can't even fathom that. How much pot he must get given everywhere he goes. God bless him. All right.
Well, for months, Ashira Barlow's cell phone has been flooded with wrong number calls and text messages, mostly between 2 and 4 a.m. and on weekends. She, some of them say, baby girl, who are you? One man purrs in a foreign accent. Why are you doing this, she asked. This is so rude. And there have been several randomly references to Paris, as in Paris Hilton. Apparently the story begins on Valentine's Day during a night out with friends. She was carrying her phone in the back pocket when it fell into a toilet. When she replaced it, her wireless company insisted on assigning the San Francisco native a new number with a 310 area code rather than a 415. Well, Barlow had been given a recycled phone number that used to be Paris Hilton. So just after she got her new phone, close to Hilton's February 17th birthday, a flurry of calls and text messages began. Oh, my God, one caller asked, where is the party? Then came the day Hilton was sentenced to jail for violating probation. Messages about parties were replaced by dozens expressing condolences. People were scared for her. The phone traffic trailed off when Hilton went to jail. But when she was released, a new crop of messages flooded it. It's disgusting how they treated you. Well, once again, you showed the world that you can do anything. Barlow said she has resisted the temptation to pose as Hilton to get into exclusive parties. But she did message supporters, thanks very much, believing Hilton would appreciate it. She plans to keep the number because it's been a great source of amusement. It's been out of convenience, she added. I don't want to switch numbers again.
Speaking of great source of amusement, let's see if I've got the... Wait, hold on. This is a... I think I may have a great source of amusement for us to use with Scotty. Let's see if this will play here. Mm-hmm. Ancient Chinese secret, eh? Somebody sent me what I... Those aren't crickets. I think those are bats killing someone in a cage. I don't know what kind of crickets
they
have.
Oh, that's a horrible
noise. Seriously, here's a space cricket munching on the bones of a child. All right, never mind. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Burger King has announced it'll use trans-fat-free cooking oil at all its U.S. restaurants by the end of the year, following in the footsteps of the other fast food giants. Burger King is the second largest hamburger chain. They said they're already using zero trans-fat oil in hundreds of more than 7,100 U.S. restaurants nationwide. They're known for flame-broiled burgers, but use cooking oil for its french fries and most of its chicken products. In test, consumers determined that more than a dozen items cooked in the new oil, such as french fries and hash browns, tasted the same or better than the same things cooked in the old trans fat. So that's good. Detectives arrested a 12-year-old girl and her 10-year-old sister for allegedly abducting their neighbor's 1-year-old son and demanding $200,000 in ransom. The baby's back home. This after the intruders broke into his family's residence and took him while his mother's asleep. The siblings, who were not identified because of their ages, are accused of breaking into Sheila Wells' home, taking her son Brandon, and leaving a note. The note was signed, The Kidnappers.
Okay. Let's see here. Hi, Jake, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, what's going on?
What's up?
Just in your reference to the paparazzi word.
Yeah.
I was watching something the other day on A&E. Basically, what about paparazzi is it's an Italian word that refers to like a small buzzing or annoying insect.
Oh, really? Is that true? So it was, but do we know that it came from La Dolce Vita? Is that true, Tim? Do we know?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. But it is a small or irritating insect.
Yeah, and I think the reason they use it is how the, you know, how photographers, you know, swarm and annoy,
right,
you know, celebrities. So anyway, that's where it comes from.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
Bella, those people are parasites. All right. Now, here's, let me just, if I can go back to the Vanilla Ice thing for a second. Here's the thing about Vanilla Ice. I have this great documentary at home called Welcome to Death Row, which is this documentary by a guy named Lee Savage, all about the rise and fall of Death Row Records. And they do this great thing where they play back-to-back two interviews with Vanilla Ice in which he gives completely contrasting accounts of that Suge Knight story. And it's not like they're interviewing some guy and then they interview some other guy. I mean, it's like a clip of Vanilla Ice being interviewed about the Suge Knight thing in which Suge Knight supposedly went up to his hotel room and dangled him over a balcony by his ankles. And Suge, and I wish I'd brought the sound with me. And Vanilla says, like, I had to wear a diaper on that day. That's the great quote from the interview. Where you're talking about Suge Knight dangling him over a balcony. And then they immediately segue to some other more recent interview with Vanilla Ice where he's like, I never said that. I never said that Suge Knight threatened me. I don't know where people get that story from. And it's like the two interviews back to back. And I just, it's not even that I expect him to give me the real scoop about it, you know, or that I expect him to give me the definitive answer. My question to Vanilla Ice would be, not did Suge Knight dangle you over a balcony, because clearly he's decided that the safest answer to that now is just to say no. He's obviously decided that his life expectancy will be much longer if he just denies that Suge Knight ever threatened him. My question is going to be, okay, so then why did you ever give this other answer? That's my thing. Like, I'm not even going to press him for the truth. I'm just going to say, why then this other... It's like Larry King pulling out the photograph of Paris Hilton smoking a joint after she says that she never did it. What with the photograph then? Like, that's my whole thing. That's what I want to know. So, I realize I'm talking about doing a hardball interview with Vanilla Ice, but it bugs me. It's going to bug me forever.
I just want you to blow it for the rest of us, because I really want to meet him tomorrow.
Oh, I know, no, that's
and if
true.
And if you're a total jerk to him, like, I don't want it to be bad blood.
I'm not going to be... No, I would not be a jerk. You know, I
know that you're... But I think you're expecting a little too much.
Perhaps. I should lower my...
Well, it's not planned to put this one in with a box set.
This won't go on the 970 AM Best Of collection that we put out years from now. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Another setback for Microsoft's unprofitable entertainment and devices division. The company said it is planning to spend at least $1 billion to repair serious problems with its Xbox 360 video game console. They declined to detail the problem that has caused an onslaught of general hardware failures.
Imagine making a mistake it costs you $1 billion to fix.
Well, these are glitches and bad publicity. They could weigh the company down as it claws into its market share of the highly competitive console market. In May, the Xbox 360 ranked number 2 in sales units behind Nintendo's Wii, but still beat out Sony's PlayStation 3. We don't think we're getting the job done, said the president of Microsoft's Entertainment and Devices Division.
What with the billion-dollar loss I've just incurred? How do you suppose you break the news to Bill Gates that you've just made a mistake that's going to cost the company $1 billion? What, do you suppose that is the longest walk down the hall, like, ever by anybody? Because, you know, at the end of the hall, there's just a door, you know, B. Gates, CEO or whatever. And you got to, like, you know.
Yes, who is it?
Bill, Mr. Gates, I need to talk to you. Can I come in for a second? And then the door shuts, and you sit down across the desk from Bill Gates, and you have to explain that you have just lost his company $1 billion. So, I mean, there's just, no matter how bad your day at work is, there's no way it could be that bad.
Well, the company made some manufacturing production challenges, and expects to reduce Xbox 360's hardware lockups, but declined to identify the problems or say what others might remain. The news comes days before the video game industry descends on Santa Monica, California for its annual E3 conference, and it could overshadow Microsoft plans to build buzz for holiday season video game releases and Halo 3, a much-anticipated shoot-em-up for the Xbox.
Fantastic. Let's see here. This is Jim. Come on, Jim. What's up?
Hey, Rick. How you doing, buddy?
What do you got, brother?
Willie Nelson was last Saturday.
Oh, so I don't have to worry about it because I've missed it altogether.
There you go, buddy.
Really? So I thought it was 4th of July week. I guess I'm totally wrong about that.
June 30th. I missed it, too.
All right. Well,
what's he been doing all week?
I think we know the answer to that. Sitting around asking if there's any more Tim's jalapeno in the kitchen.
All right. And or fiddle faddle.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
Right on, brother.
Come on, Jim.
Thank you, brother. Do you have any screaming yellow zonkers around? Thanks so much. Hi, Gene. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, Gene?
Hey, Rick. How you doing, man?
How can I help you, sir?
Hey, I got a Willie Nelson weed story for you.
Really? I bet you're one of only 50,000 people that can say that. What is your story?
Well, I used to live in Maui, and I used to go to Paia. Remember years ago when he got in trouble and his manager was totally blind?
Yeah.
Well, he had a house in Spreckelsville, and he used to go to this bar named Charlie P. Wolferson. We went golfing with a bartender and a couple buddies of mine. And for 18 holes, he would smoke one to two joints in between each hole.
How does the guy even stand? I mean, I don't care what anybody does. I pass no judgment. It just seems like it really is almost...
It's just impressive.
It is impressive. That's the thing. It's like he stands, he manages to play a fairly intricate style of jazz sort of guitar playing. He remembers the words to his songs. He's like 100 years old to begin with, and the guy must just smoke like a pound a day. It's unbelievable.
And this is in Hawaii, and you know, it wasn't no bunk stuff, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, man, I'm the acapella Aussie. Remember that? The Aussie interviews or tryouts?
Yes, I do, sir.
And my World of Warcraft name is Dreadlock, so
excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. Gene, also known as Dreadlock on the World of Warcraft, a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Hi, you have a comment about a Vanilla Ice cover band, sir.
Yeah, but first I got a riddle for you. What's got 400 legs and 30 teeth?
I don't know.
Front row at a Willie Nelson concert.
Okay.
Waiting for one of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple years ago, a friend of mine was having his 40th birthday, and he wanted to have a Vanilla Ice cover band. So we got all our money together, and we figured out we couldn't afford it, so we got Vanilla Ice instead.
Okay, that's funny. Thank you. That was funny. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that today. That was really funny. Probably he didn't come up with that himself, but it's funny. That's okay. Now, this is a true story, though. You know, I'm a big Quiet Riot fan.
DriveHomeHappy.com is your total.
I'm unashamed about this. I'm a big Quiet Riot fan. People can make all the fun they want. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. None. I got like 7 Quiet Riot albums at home. I have a Quiet Riot live album. I'm a big one of the, and I say this with no irony. One of the big thrills of my life was when I got to meet Kevin DeBrow from Quiet Riot. I was working at a rock and roll station, and he and Carlos Carvaza came in. They did an interview, a little short in studio set. And I told Kevin DeBrow, I'm like, you got one of the all time great, you know, metal voices, you know. And he's like, hey, thanks, man. And he had the big fake wig and everything going on. It's just, anyways, but I've seen them in concert a billion times. So I say this with the greatest of respect to Quiet Riot, because I really do love them, and they've made some classic music over the last 25 years or whatever. But I have a friend of mine who is he's a promoter and blah blah blah. Anyway, a guy I know, and there was a frat house that was booking Quiet Riot to come play their frat. And the frat was like, hey, we got this huge party coming up. We got a little bit of money together. The frat has this budget. We're going to get we're going to get like an 80s rock band to come play the frat. And so they gather up, and I don't even know how much it cost to get Quiet Riot to come play this frat party. But apparently Otis Day and the Knights were unavailable. And so they got Quiet Riot to come play. And the tour writer, you know, because sometimes bands, like we've read these on the air from The Smoking Gun, where like Christina Aguilera backstage will demand like 5 dozen fresh chrysanthemums and 600 bottles of Peregrino water and 9 pizzas and 700 bags of Doritos and a masseuse. The contract for Quiet Riot demanded a 6-pack of Snapple. That was it. Peach, by the way. A 6-pack of peach Snapple. That was all they felt they could really reasonably ask for and get away with it. Really, it's true. All right. Really? Do you, Scotty, honestly, really, another Willie Nelson joke? No disrespect to whoever's on hold with a Willie Nelson joke there. Scotty, we're just going to pass on that. Quit typing do it on the screen. You do it. Why don't you just... Okay. Scotty, here, do me a favor. Here. Scotty, come here. Come into the studio, please. Scotty's typing on the screen over and over again that I have to take the Willie Nelson joke because it's hilarious. So I'm not going
to
do
but
that.
But we've already deemed like what's hilarious to Scotty. It's not funny to a lot of people.
So we're going
to
let Scotty take the call. All right, Scotty. No. Don't use my microphone.
Use your own microphone.
Right over there. Okay. So you take the Willie Nelson call yourself here. I'm gonna sit back in the studio and eat some Crustios.
It'll fail miserably because we need the sounder.
Well, Scotty. You know, good joke stands without sound effects. Scotty.
You can make a sound effect too.
You go ahead.
This just in from the CBS news desk. We're gonna take this call.
Yeah, you're gonna ruin it by telling it's a joke.
Okay, John. No. Go. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess Willie Nelson died this morning.
You're kidding me.
No, he was playing on the road again.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
bye
thanks.
Now. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Scotty. Yeah, it was genius. I'm going to take a break
now. Oh, those smell really good.
They're totally Fruit Loops.
Give me some of those.
You know what? And I ruined the box. I don't care.
You totally ripped it open. You and your food, you're a weirdo. Nobody knows that you just, like, tear into your food and shove it in your face all at one time.
I'm a fast eater. What do you want? We're going to take a break here. We'll come back more from Tim Riley. Scott Dowley around the corner from FilmFeverRadio.com. And Mr. Vanilla Ice on the way. You stay there. It's a Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. Remember that story.
Okay.
Why, hello. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Tomorrow, 7707. The luckiest day of the century. And we're going to be at Outlaws Music Hall tomorrow night, 7707.
So excited.
All right. It is time to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show a living, breathing slice of American pop culture. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the one, the only Vanilla Ice. Why, hello, sir. How are you?
What's going on, Raz? How you doing?
All right. I have to ask you this up front because I want to get out of the way. Honestly, do I call you Vanilla? Do I call you Mr. Ice? Do I call you Rob? It sounds silly. I have no idea.
Rob. I prefer Rob.
Right. Excellent. Okay. So you were and are, to put it mildly, a real polarizing figure in American culture. Everybody on Earth knows who you are. I mean, one of the most recognizable faces. 2007, still one of the most recognizable names in music. I mean, just do you look around right now in 2007 and see stuff that you feel like you influenced or that you were kind of the first to do that maybe people don't necessarily look at it and think of you?
Well, all the time. I mean, just not from, you know, and I have no ego, so it doesn't really matter, but it's funny, you know. I mean, just from all the ice beers and ice everything and, you know, vanilla Smirnoff. And, I mean, yeah, they got a Vanilla Ice Nike now, a shoe. They got, I mean, it's nuts, you know. And then musically, obviously, you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of white rappers came up after me, you know, the Kid Rocks, Eminem, of course.
Do you ever have you ever run? Because it was real popular for a while for people to take shots at you. Obviously, not to say anything you don't know. And like Henry Rollins and the MC Search and those guys. Have you ever run into anybody like that? Have you ever run into a guy like Rollins or MC Search, somebody who was scoring points on you kind of back then? Or
no, they wouldn't. It wouldn't have been a good path for them if they crossed mine at that time. The good thing is I've had therapy since then, but that wouldn't have been good if we met up back in the day. It would have got uglier than Ron Jeremy on The Surreal Life.
Well, that's on The Surreal Life. I know that there was, I guess, what we'll charitably call some kind of, intense moments. Was that, like, played up for the camera on the Surreal Life? There was, you know, kind of, I don't want to say breakdown, but in some moments where things got real heavy, was that faked up or played up or dramatized, or was that how it really was?
Well, I'd like to tell people it was real, but yeah, we staged a lot of that stuff. You know, we planned smashing the drum set and planned a lot of the intensity and stuff.
What are the other moments from The Surreal Life that really stick out to you? I mean, maybe even some that didn't make it on the camera.
Well, there's a ton of them. You know, just a bunch of jackass stuff running around. I mean, there's so much that you can't even really pinpoint one of them. It's just a whole bunch of different, you know, things from the strippers coming off the poles, getting drunk, running through the house. Nude and stuff like that, you know, and they didn't show all that, obviously, but yeah, it was pretty chaotic around there.
And so in terms of, you know, that same kind of vibe, in fact, my producer, Sarah, she's a little younger than I am. She's 26, and so I don't think was watching this at the time. We were talking about, I don't remember if it was MTV or MTV2, but there was Chris Kattan, John Stewart, Janine Garofalo, and they were doing this thing of talking about videos that weren't going to be played again or videos they were going to get rid of. And there was this sort of famous moment where you went on there and they were going to let you get rid of the Ice Ice Baby video and you kind of ended up smashing up the set. And I don't know, was that something that was played up or were you legitimately feeling pissed off at MTV and you were like, this is it, MTV screwed me and so I'm going to, you know, this is my chance to kind of go a little angry about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was pretty real. I mean, nobody expected me to do that, but you know, if they want me to come on there and destroy my own video, which basically they helped build up, you know, I made them millions of dollars just to play the thing, you know, and they hooked it up or they made me good. We both kind of did everybody good and all of a sudden they want me to smash it now. And I'm like, if you want me to smash something, I'm going to smash your set, you know? So I did it to send a message out. My whole message was basically music shouldn't be about gimmicks. Music shouldn't be about image. Music really never was meant to be about MTV, to be honest with you, you know? Music is always meant to be about the freaking music. And, you know, it's video killed the radio star kind of story, you know? So basically I was kind of lashing out, rebelling against all that whole thing, and I had a great time, and it was one of the highest rated shows on there, and they kicked me out of my butt for it.
No, I've seen that several times, actually. They'll replay in, like, MTV's most shocking moments or whatever, and it's that, and and there's, you know, there've been a lot of guys like that who kind of went through this same cycle. I mean, I'm telling you anything you don't know. I mean, everybody, I mean, there's guys before you, there's you, there's a lot of the, maybe the younger acts, like some of the teen acts since then, where they get MTV or whatever star-making machinery makes them, builds them up, makes all the money off of them. And I'm sure people will say, well, yeah, but, you know, there's a harder way to make a living. And that's true. I mean, everybody loves to be famous, but for the star-making machinery to build you up and then in public make money, then tearing you back down again, it's got to piss you off.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened. So there you go. They got what they got. They deserved. And now they call me all the time wanting more of that, you know. It's like, God, I thought that would be the end of it, you know, and here they are calling me all the time. It's really weird. And you do something like that, and then they, you know, you think that's going to be the end of it. You shock them, and it gets high ratings. They love it now, you know. They want that intensity and stuff. So they're going to get it, you know. I don't mind being the jackass.
we're talking to Vanilla Ice. Going to be at Outlaws Music Hall tomorrow, 7707. Vanilla Ice, a.k.a. or Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice. Tomorrow, Outlaws Music Hall, 7707. I think I remember reading at one point, actually, just the follow-up and that thing we were talking about. I remember reading that you had said, which I totally believe, that so much of the stuff that people immediately noticed about you or saw about you, like the pants and the sparkles and the sculpted hair, that was just, you know, some guy at the record company who's like, this is what you're going to look like and this is what you're going to wear and put it on now.
Yep, that's so true. Yeah, I mean, you know, I wrote Ice Ice Baby when I was 16 years old, so I didn't know anything, you know. I was pretty much a broke kid looking for any kind of deal, you know, just like anybody. I'd have given my arm, you know. But anyway, I come in there, and I went on tour with Ice-T, Stetsasonic, EPMD, the Stop the Violence tour for about 3 years. When I was 19, I signed with the major labels. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm selling a million records a week, and I'm thinking, wow, this is great, you know. And I'm this white kid who had like a Fila sweatsuit that was made by some Korean lady that's not even real authentic, you know, Fila, with a fake gold rope chain on. And anyway, I have all this crew of people that come in from the record company now, from publicists creating stories to make me, you know, cater to a broader audience and be this role model that I really didn't feel like I was, and, you know, change my appearance. I have wardrobe people. They just roll in these wardrobes and say, we're going to dress you like this, take a bunch of pictures, and you got to do this. And, I mean, they just take over. And I'm thinking, okay, hey, I'm selling a million records a week. These people got to know what they're talking about and what they're doing. So I just kind of, you know, I didn't have anybody before me to use as a guideline either, you know. Eminem can go, look what happened to Vanilla Ice. I better not do that, you know.
Right. Well, I never really thought about that, actually, that that whatever people want to say about his music and your music and the difference or the similarities, that he had you to look at and maybe to learn good things or bad things from. But you, I mean, there's really nobody before you, certainly not in hip-hop, for you to model yourself on. This is, and you talk about being a 19-year-old kid. I mean, And a million artists have said that. John Fogerty from CCR has talked about this, where he signed away all his publishing and whatever, and he's like, you know what? You're 17, you're 19, you want a deal. They put a deal in front of you.
Yep.
No one on earth is going to say, like, no, I'm going to cling to my artistic principles and be broke and live in a box somewhere. Exactly. No one is going to say no to that.
Yep, and it's been a rough road for me. The great thing is I've made great investments, so now it kind of allows me to do whatever I want.
That's the thing I wanted to ask you, but I hear all of these stories. I saw an interview years ago. I think it was a guy who was like one of your accountants or some guy that handled your money, and the writer point blank asked him, said, like, hey, does this guy he still have money? And your accountant said, he has the bank account of a very, very lucky lottery winner. And it sounded like you were either smart or you did what I would do, which is, because I'm not that smart, is to get smart people around me and make sure that I'm going to eat in 50 years.
Well, I like to claim me being the smart one, but I think the B option was the proper one. I had some good people around me, but I had some snakes around me too, you know, that you learn from those as well, you know. So it's just been a rough road, but I've made some of the right decisions, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm a perfect example of it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there.
No problem, buddy. So everything's good right now, yeah.
We're talking to Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice. Going to be at Outlaws Music Hall tomorrow, 7707. We're going to be there. And then we'll talk about, because now you've got the, you know, stuff you're doing and stuff that you want to talk about. We go one more thing back, and you talk about selling a million records a week. Is there one moment you can think of, one instant, some small thing or maybe a big thing, when you knew that, like, okay, hold on, because things are about to get crazy? Like, is there one moment where you realized that, like, the roller coaster ride was about to get out of control?
Yeah, but, you know, the thing was going, it started, basically, you know, when I started, it was going at a slow pace. We sold like 48,000 copies on a small label out of Atlanta called Ichiban Records, and I thought that was huge, you know. Rap records at the time had, you know, the most sold rap record at the time was like Run DMC, which was like 4 million or something like that. You know, that was like the most, and that was like huge. I never thought I would top that or expect anything like that, you know, and then all of a sudden, within a month, I not only topped that, but within the next month, I surpassed it, and then, you know, the record kept climbing and climbing, and now I have the most sold record, even still to this day, in hip-hop music, period. So it's like still, it never slowed down. It kept picking up pace. It never slowed down until now. So I never really got to enjoy it, you know, and I'm enjoying it now for the first time. I know it's weird, but it's what's going on. I'm really enjoying it.
That would probably be my question: is did you, when you look back at that time or the '90s, it doesn't even sound like it was something you would say you enjoyed. It would sound like something you say that you maybe got through or learned from.
That's exactly right. I mean, it sounds like everybody's dream, and you're living it and everything, but when you're stuck in it, it's completely opposite of everything you could expect from the outside looking in, you know? I mean, every day was scheduled. I mean, you think with all that money, and all, you could go buy all the stuff you want, and it's true, but you ain't going to be able to use it for 4 or 5 years, you know? I remember buying some cars and stuff, you know, and really these Porsches and yachts and stuff, and I'd be like, oh, this is great, man, I got my dream cars and dream yachts in the house. And 4 years later, I come home, and they got like 10 miles on them, and they're outdated, you know? I'm thinking, I never get to use them.
So would you say the stuff you're doing right now, you're doing because you want to do it? The stuff that you do now, it's the stuff that is really where your heart is? I mean, are you producing as well as performing? What do you do with your time, with your energy right now?
Yeah, I make very unradio-friendly music, and I do that on purpose because of what I was telling you about earlier. Music has just gotten so artificial these days that it's ridiculous, so I'm pretty much rebelling against it, and I'm still selling millions of records. So it's pretty good. I'm catering to demographics of about 16 to 25-year-olds who are, if you do the math, were only about 1 year old when Ice Ice Baby was out.
Right,
so
right.
They're very aware of Ice Ice Baby, but they're more into my later stuff, you know, the hardcore stuff. I've been recording with groups like Korn, Slipknot, and, you know, Soulfly, and some very heavy bands, the Wu-Tang Clan also, Public Enemy from the old school, doing a lot of collaboration stuff, and, you know, most of the people that remember Ice Ice Baby aren't going to really pick up on it because it's not mainstream, but those very loyal fans that I was talking about, they'll come out to almost every show. I'm starting to know them by first-name basis.
It's funny.
It's like a subculture following that's coming out, you know. There'll be some tomorrow there from New York City. You'll see.
I was talking to my PA, Scotty J, who's the guy who answered the phone when you called him, and he and I actually had, not really a bet, but we were having this. He was insisting that you'd done something with the Bloodhound Gang, and I didn't know if that was true or not.
Yeah, the Bloodhound Gang. I did a great song with them called Boom. I didn't think it would get as much attention as it did, and it went on to get another gold album for me. So I was like, wow.
I know you're under the gun here, so I know we'll wrap it up here, so you gotta get prepped for everything and whatnot. We're talking to Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice, going to be at Outlaws Music Hall tomorrow, 7707. Couple of final questions. My audience would shoot me if I did not ask you this. How is it that you ended up being in the Madonna book? And is that something like, do you look back and go, God, what was I thinking? Or do you look back and go, hey, that was cool, I was in the Madonna book?
Well, I had a weekend that lasted a few years. Just to say the least. And, you know, I went out with her for about 8 months. It was crazy because I was in Evansville, Indiana the other day playing a concert. And everybody remembers when she was filming League of Their Own. That's kind of where all the people found out that we were going out. And so all these media and press are flying into this small little town in Evansville. And we couldn't go to the theater or anything anymore, you know. But it was chaotic. It was wild. Just a crazy experience in my life. And I ended up in the sex book. I actually hated it. I told her, no, don't put me in your slutty package, you know?
Dude, that's fantastic. Was that Asian girl in the Ice Ice Baby video as hot in person as she appeared to be in the video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was hot. She was going out with one of my dancers, actually.
Excellent. All right.
She was smoking. She was hot.
Do you have a website, or where should people go to find out more about what you're doing?
Oh, there you go. You guys there?
Yeah, all right. I'm sorry. Do you have a website or MySpace? Where should people go to figure out what you're doing right now?
VanillaIce.com. Simple as a pimple.
VanillaIce.com. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us tomorrow night. Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice, tomorrow night, 7707. We'll all be there, too, so we'll see you there, my friend. Have a great show tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow in Portland.
Okay, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show, buddy.
There you go. Thank you. There you go. Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice. Scotty, you want to make sure that he's good to go there?
Thank him, Scotty.
On the warm line. Thank him for... Thank you so much. How cool was that guy?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Come on. Okay, everybody can eat it. That guy was great.
Wow, very well spoken and
intelligent. He had an excellent command of the English language.
Yeah, because you wonder, you're like, you think, I don't know, is he, you know, some schnook or whatever, but...
I don't think he was one.
No, that guy was great.
I'm sure if he's still able to maintain you some kind of music career after falling that hard 16
totally.
Years later.
Yeah, I mean...
I am so excited for tomorrow.
And you know what? And I'm glad that he doesn't... It's not like he was just doing nothing but a... He wasn't doing, like, some big ranting, screaming thing about it, but he also didn't pull any punches. He was just like, yeah. He's like, yeah, they effed me. And he's like... And, you know, he said... And this is... I'm not trying to pick a fight about Vanilla Ice. I really am not. And I know it's a little late in the game for me to talk about haters. But I'm saying... But you know how it is. We've gotten, you know... most people are really pumped about this, but we've all gotten some email from listeners like, this is dumb that you're doing the Vanilla Ice. You're stupid. He sucks. You know, and it's like, dude... It's like he just said, you're some 19-year-old guy, and they're like, hey, do you want to sell a million records a week and perform in front of 50,000 people at a pop and be vastly wealthy? Do you want to have more money than you could ever possibly imagine and, you know, and sell 7 million records? Sign here. You know, you can give me all the crap you know. I'd rather play at a coffee house in Cambridge and eat dirt, you know, and you and I both know that you are full of crap. So, you know what? Probably anybody within the sound of my voice would trade places with that guy now, just because he's still world famous. You know what I mean? More famous than I'm ever going to be. So, I mean, yeah. Well, whatever. So there you go.
Wow. I am so excited for tomorrow.
Because you know how it is. It's like sometimes you're really excited for something, and then you interview the person, and they're just a tool. And I can't think of any examples right now, but I know I've done that, where you then interview the guy. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wasn't really pumped, but I mean, but then it's like any chance I ever had of going to see Steven Seagal, that was gone once we interviewed him. I don't know. It's like I interviewed, I always name check this, but it's like I interviewed Henry Rollins one time, and it was a really bad interview. I mean, I was really young and didn't really know what I was doing, but he was having a bad day, and he was just very, like, one-word answers. Very, like, you know, so Henry, what are you doing? And then he was just like, well... I play music. And, like, that was it. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. And I just felt, and to this day, that kind of colors him a little bit to me. Just because he just came off like he just hated me and didn't want to be there. And, like, he just held me in contempt for wanting to ask him questions. And but that, you know, that guy was great. Great interview. All right. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm stoked that he was cool.
Yeah, he was really cool.
And seemed legitimately into the doing the interview. He was not, as they say, phoning it in. He was, you know, seemed into it, and he seems into what he's doing now.
I'm so excited you asked him about Madonna too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't want to, and I didn't do the Shook thing at the end, because he's so, you know, he was a cool guy. I didn't want to, like, you know, sucker punch him at the end. I didn't, you know. But, and he answered the sex thing. He answered the
he
sex
really
book question. So.
And I'm glad that it went well, because that means it's going to give us a good end to be able to talk to him tomorrow, which I'm totally nervous to meet him.
Yeah, today. Yeah, no, he's...
I mean, you don't know, you remember how big stars were when you were 10 years old?
Totally.
Like, he was... like God to me. I remember just being completely obsessed with him. Well, him and Nuke is on the block.
People maybe don't remember, and this is the last thing I'll say about it because it sounds like I'm like I live my life as some Vanilla Ice apologist, which I am not. But I am, as people who know me and Joni has heard these rants incessantly from me. I always do get a little irritated at people who I think have been unfairly maligned. You don't have to like Vanilla Ice. You can think his music's terrible, whatever. But there's people who you like, and there's people who you don't like, and then there's people who like as a culture. We all decided to have some huge pecking party on, and it's like some it's like the kid on the playground that everybody decides to pick on and kick the crap out of all year. It's like a guy like Vanilla Ice or Billy Ray Cyrus is another example. Guys where we all just decided that we were just going to ridicule them and make fun of them for like no real reason. You know, maybe you don't like their music. You know what? There's a lot of music people probably don't like. But a guy like Vanilla Ice, it's like we all just turn on him and decide that he has to bear the brunt of everything. And so... you know, I'm sure a lot of it is also that he's rich, and so therefore it doesn't matter. But people don't really remember, maybe, or they don't want to remember, because if you remember how big Vanilla Ice is, then it's like you're complicit. Then you have to admit that you at one time thought Ice Ice Baby was a great song, which it is. And I got 7 million records that sold. You realize that is more than every Ramones album put together? And I'm not saying that Vanilla Ice is better than the Ramones. I mean, these are all, like, subjective things. I'm just saying... that guy's a cultural force. I mean, you know, the reverberations of that success you still see today in the record industry. He was just the prototype. And with every generation, the marketing gets a little slicker, you know? So, anyway, well, what are you going to do? The guy's living history. So, there you go. Vanilla Ice, kids. Tim Riley, around the corner, have we exciting news?
Oh, yes, it never ends.
That is true. And Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will join us. I think he's going to be reviewing the new Pixar film. So we'll come back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay right there.
Kick it one time, boy. Keep on climbing, suckers. Thought I couldn't swing this. Now I rock the crowd and you.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at 3, Flash Friday with Tom Likas. Let's see. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, Donna Mike. Tomorrow, 6 to 9, Car and Driver Radio. 9 to 11, Miles Around with Dennis Pitchenbarger and, more importantly, with Scotty J. And so forth. Right now, though, please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Alabama police who chased a car for miles along a highway at speeds of over 100 miles an hour knew the driver was drunk. Hardly a rarity in this neck of the woods. But there is more. When they looked inside the flipped vehicle with guns drawn, they found an 11-year-old girl at the wheel. She's now charged with driving under the influence, speeding, reckless endangerment, leaving the scene of the accident. Chief Duck said she sideswiped another vehicle during the 8-mile chase.
You must be at least this tall to steal this car.
A girl whose name is not released because of her age told police she was on her way to pick up her sister at a concert. They found no alcohol in the car, but believe the girl drank before getting behind the wheel,
well
which
done.
Belongs to relatives.
Well, she's getting a head start in that part of the world.
Sony issued a public apology today for a violent game that features a bloody shootout inside a cathedral, but will not address the Church of England's demand that the company withdraw the game. The church has demanded that Sony Corporation stop selling the game, Resistance Fall of Man, that includes a gun battle between an American soldier and aliens inside a building that resembles the Manchester Cathedral in northwest England. The entertainment giant said in an apology that the company had met with church leaders and apologized. The company said it is now considered the matter closed. and they will not withdraw the game.
Well, the thing about this season, it's Britain, for some reason, is really freaky about what games they'll put out and what they won't. Like, and the, it is the, like, we all know, like, the best way to get deal with a game like this is just to ignore it, because there's all kinds of games that I don't even want to buy. There's some game called, it's like Manhunt 2 or Manhunt Hunter of Men 2 or something that just came out. And I didn't even, I never knew about the game. I didn't want to play it. I didn't want to buy it. But now apparently it's been slapped with all these warnings and, like, no company on earth will put it out. Like, Rockstar Games developed it and they have to shelve it because no one anywhere in the entire world will sell it. And, of course, now I just want to buy it. Now I want to go buy it and take it home and play it all weekend. I don't know anything about it except that no store in America will carry it. And so now I have to play it. So that's... That's all these games do is just, that's all they do is just create a need in me now that can never be fulfilled.
Two teenagers in custody after sheriff's deputies found an explosive device in the wetlands of the Happy Valley Park in Clackamas County. The mother of one of the two teens called deputies after saying her son was building a bomb out of available materials.
Well, that's just, you know what it is? That's just ingenuity. What's he supposed to build a bomb out of? Unavailable materials?
Well, the boy admitted that he and his 16-year-old friend made the device. Deputy said the boy said they wanted to surprise people in the park, but not hurt anyone.
That would be surprising, wouldn't it? My legs have been blown off! Surprise! You didn't see it coming, did you? That just irritates me now that I think about it. Is that who wrote that copy? Tell me it's KGW, that bomb story you just
heard. No, it's EAP.
Really?
Yeah.
Building the bomb out of available materials. By definition, they're available materials. The kids were building the bomb out of them. You can't build something out of unavailable materials. That's just stupid. That's bad writing. Fine. I'm going to quit caring about quality. It's just a popcorn summer story. Go ahead. Or are you done?
Well, I was going to say it's going to be hot all weekend. The temperature's in the 80s.
Were you going to do the whole Buster Poindexter
yeah.
thing? How, what are the lines leading up to that? I only know the
I
hot,
don't
hot,
remember
hot
now.
Line. Hot. What are the lines? Now I got to look it up.
Okay. I think we should play it.
Do you have it?
No, but I can go find it. YouTube.
YouTube. Let's see.
Hot. Isn't that the name of a group? No, that's wet. Hot. I'm getting Red Hot Chili
hot
Peppers.
Heat.
Oh, there's Hot Heat. That's right. Let's see. Oh, wait. I should put in Buster.
Poindexter.
Is Poindexter, was that ever a real word, or was that always, oh, here we go. Or was that always just some made-up term about, you know, whatever? All right, hold on. Here we go.
Few older kids may remember this. About 15 years ago, as a matter of fact, I was in a band with the New York Dolls. Now look at some of
these. Who is that? Whose computer is this?
The New York Dolls.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't figure it out. Which one is it?
I've gone crazy.
Heavy metal bands in L.A. don't have the market.
Oh, it's mine.
This is the longest way to go to a joke that we have already telegraphed. Sarah's shaking it Gloria Estefan style, honey. I hate this song, by the way.
It's adequate. It's an easy hit.
It's adequate. Aiming for adequate. The Rick Emerson story. Okay, I'm still no closer to understand what he's saying, though. That was the whole point of this stupid exercise.
No, was it? I forgot the original point. I was just sitting here listening to the song.
That's the whole show. That's a microcosm of this whole show. Doing something we've completely forgotten what we were even doing. One more time. Oh, these women look like they're saucy.
Oh, he's speaking some foreign language.
Even. Savage, is he? All right. Okay.
Well, he's speaking the language of those islands.
He's speaking the language of love, Tim. The international language.
Someday we may find out exactly what that means, but it won't be today. I think there's already been enough excitement today. We can look that up some other time.
You've decided it's not worth pursuing.
No, not really.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the history of the world. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
I thought it was done.
I don't really know. Let's say
go
yes.
on to the next thing.
Okay.
I bet there are callers waiting on the line.
Let's hope so. Okay, otherwise it's 15 minutes of nothing. All right, here we're back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour all the way through Lycus. Tim Riley,
that's
ladies
right,
and
yes.
gentlemen. Yes. Of course. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFeverRadio.com. Our good friend, film critic Scott Daly joining us now. Hello, sir.
Hello, everybody.
How long have you been on hold?
Oh, about 40 minutes.
Do you feel it's going to be worth it?
You know, I do want to say this.
Don't choke now.
Oh, no. I think it's very interesting. First of all, it's a great interview with Mr. Van Winkle.
He was great. Great interview.
Yeah, he was. But I find it very funny that he sort of claims same to the ice beer craze and the vanilla vodka craze.
Sarah said that's when she knew it was going to be a good interview. Sarah's like, that's when I knew the interview was gold, when he claimed credit for Vanilla Smirnoff.
I love him.
He was great. He really was. Now, let me ask you, he's a good-looking man, is he not?
Yes.
All right, see, that's about it.
Kind of. He's a little too white boy rapper for my taste.
Well, but that's
there's
only then.
There's definite look.
Who knows how, but he might
no,
look different now.
No, I'm looking
now.
At pictures of him now. He's a pretty good-looking fella. I think he's actually married with child, though.
I think that is actually the case, so, all right.
But he's tough now. He's hard. He's a rocker.
Don't be smart.
I'm not. I'm
don't
just
make fun of our new friend Vanilla Ice.
No.
What if he ignores us tomorrow?
What if he's too good for us?
Oh,
they won't ignore us.
Do you
know who we are?
Rick, I was waiting for your cool as ice questions.
No, there was no time. There was no time. I you know what? I also forgot to ask him.
What's that?
I didn't get to ask him about cool as ice.
Right.
And I also didn't ask him. I'm curious, actually, now that he made the comment how he prefers to be Rob, you know, referred to as Rob. I wanted to ask him if he picked the name Vanilla Ice. I never actually thought about that before. If he doesn't want to be called that, the question is, did he actually pick the name himself, or did some A&R guy, like, they picked his hair, they picked his clothing, they picked his whatever. I wonder if they picked his name for him, too. I mean, which is not, you know, like John Mellencamp, he didn't call himself John Cougar. The record came out. And John Mellencamp picked up his first record, and he's like, who's Johnny Cougar? And they're like, you are, baby. And he's like, well, I don't want to be Johnny Cougar. You know, I want to be John Mellencamp. And they said, you know what? How do you want to go? Do you want to go back to pumping gas in Tupelo? You know? And he said, no. And they said, good, you're John Cougar. Shut the hell up. So
there you go.
Well, what's up? Well, you got to review that new Pixar film.
Yeah, I saw it a couple weeks ago, and we just didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. It opened last Friday. But, you know, man, I tell you, Pixar is batting 1,000.
Financially speaking, this is true. They are the most successful movie company in history.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, the promotion for this film was really strange because, you know, Pixar and Disney never really quite knew how to push a film with a French title called Ratatouille.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, how many people really know what Ratatouille is? So I thought the marketing of this film was very strange because the last few Pixar films were marketed like crazy. You know, you got The Incredibles and Cars and all this stuff going on. And Ratatouille is a film about a rat who wants to be a chef in France, you know, in the cuisine capital of the world, in Paris.
Does the whole thing take place? I heard the whole thing almost takes place in a kitchen.
Yeah, it does. I'd say 85% of the film takes place in a kitchen with a rat on top of a guy's head covered up by a chef's hat.
I love stuff like him. That.
Yeah, it's a great film. Patton Oswalt does the voice of Remy, who is the main rat in the film, and in a summer full of count them 13 sequels, we get a great original story that's just great for everybody to go see and have fun with. And Brad Bird is directing it again, and you know, of course, Brad Bird brought us Iron Giant and The Incredibles, and you know, these great animated films. He truly is an animated master.
Oh no, he's fantastic.
But you know, Ratatouille, you just can't go wrong, man. It's great. It's a great family film. Even the adults will enjoy it. There's a lot of adult humor in there too. So
Pixar is genius. In fact, I got some free passes to Cinetopia, so my wife and I are going to go see Ratatouille at Cinetopia.
You really should. And Cinetopia would be fantastic too on a digital screen.
I know that I find a way to turn every single thing into a discussion about the Iron Giant, but I really wish now that he's done The Incredibles and this, I really wish that they would reissue the Iron Giant from the director of The Incredibles and Ratatouille.
I wish they would too, and I think that might be coming down the pike.
Because that would be a huge hit, and the movie would get the audience that it deserves.
And how great would it be if they re-released it in theaters again?
No, it would be fantastic. I mean, it would be beautiful. Okay, so I would be remiss if I did not bring up, because they're not here this week to do it themselves, the bet with Court and Fatboy about the Transformers. The bet is
over or under 160 million at the end of the 6-day run, which ends Sunday night. So we're about halfway through. Now it is. Now here it's down to the wire because we're about halfway through the Transformers run, and the movie is about halfway to the goal.
As of yesterday, the movie's made $84.7 million.
So, yeah, so there you go. So, I mean...
weekend, it's just getting started.
It depends on whether it has a huge upswing or whether it tapers as it gets into days like 4, 5, and 6.
Right. And, so. And you know, it's going to be a huge upswing, I think, because I think people are going to go see it for the first time, or they're going to go see it again. I'm going to try to carve out a couple hours this week to take my son to it, because it's just... It's great. It's so much fun. It's like, you know, like we said last week, it's whatever summer blockbusters should be, just robots beating the crap out of each other and things blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And who could do it better than Michael Bay? And you know what? I think it's time to get off your high horse there, Rick Emerson.
I'm not on a high
horse. Admit that you had fun at the movie.
I'm not on a high horse. My horse doesn't even have legs. I have lower standards than most people about most things. I'm just saying.
Come on. Come on.
You're agreeing to disagree?
We're agreeing to disagree? No, because I don't want to... Look, here's the thing. Because I don't even really care enough about the movie to pick a fight about it. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if we were talking about this on the air or not, but Joni and Sarah do some work together when they're not here. There's a side gig that Sarah has, and so she and our good friend Joni DeRoshi, work together, and Joni sent me this Transformers effing rules! Like, sent text message. And so she was like...
Because and she was being actively aggressive toward me about it. I'm like, I don't feel either way.
Like, because
I don't really care about the movie. I mean, like, maybe I'll see it, maybe I won't, but I'm not angry about it.
So, like, because Joni couldn't get to me, she's, like, picking a fight with me through Sarah, and I'm not even there. And here's the thing. I thought it was a bad film, but it's like, it wasn't even so bad that I'm going to really care about it all that much. It was just sort of another poorly done Michael Bay film. It's like many Michael Bay films. It's like, you know, it's like Bad Boys. Not the worst movie in the history of the world. It's not good. It's just sort of there to fill time for, you know, people who are waiting for, you know, whatever. Like, the Transformers is basically there, you know, to kill time for people who are waiting for Bad Boys 3. I mean, that's sort of what it is.
Oh, I think that's totally wrong.
I'm not really trying to be a jerk about it. I'm not saying that it's like a terrible, awful, irredeemably bad film. I'm just saying, to me, it was just sort of a mediocre film. My whole thing about the Transformers, and it is, I know maybe people don't want to hear me bitch about it anymore, but I'm just saying, you know, it is still the biggest movie in America right now, so it's relatable, it's topical. It's that, like, anytime you have to make preemptive disclaimers about the film, like, well, it's just a summer popcorn film, or it's just an event film, or what do you expect? It's made out of, like, a children's, you know, property. Like, anytime you have to make those disclaimers in advance, you're just sort of covering up for the fact that it's not really very good. Like, a good film doesn't have to have excuses made for it.
But people are going to see it because it is the Transformers, because it's a Transformers very well done, and very exciting, and very in your face, and it's just things blowing up. And I mean, I'll be the first to admit, you know, that I need to film a story. Like, I always hear excuse, oh, it's a family film, so it's okay that it's crap. Well, so are Pixar films. They're family films, but they're great family films. Transformers, I thought, had a really, really good story. It was entertaining, but they did it right. They stayed true to the Transformer characters. I thought they had some human interaction, but not enough to try to pass it off as a feel-good film. They knew who their audience was, they knew what they were going for, and they hit a home run with it.
Well, all right. We really will have to agree to disagree, because
yes,
otherwise I'm just investing way too much time in this.
No, I agree.
It's bringing me closer to death, and I don't care that much.
I do want to say, I want to give a big thanks to Christy Turquest from The Oregonian.
Great article on you guys. You guys got lots of ink.
Yeah, we did, and we were very excited for that. She joined us for the Transformers screening last week and came back to the Geek in the City studios and recorded our show, and it was really, really great. So a big thank you to Theragonia for running that on the 4th of July, nonetheless.
New at FilmFeverRadio.com?
We have a new show up today. We are talking about, because it is the 4th of July, Aaron and I run down our top 10 Americans that America really made in America.
What is it? Ryan, we lost a little bit of that call, but I got the gist of it. What is it? Give me a sample movie that's on your list.
On my particular list, American Graffiti.
Oh, totally.
Or Die Hard. Yeah. Or Glengarry Glen Ross.
American Graffiti, especially too. All right.
Yeah, completely.
And High Noon, Gary Cooper. All right, we got it. Thank you for holding, my friend.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy your weekend.
Will do. You guys enjoy. Bye, Sarah. Bye, everybody.
Scott Daly, ladies and gentlemen, FilmFeverRadio.com. All right.
You guys handled that very maturely. I'm very impressed with both of you.
See, I did... Well, again, it's just because I don't care enough to, like, dig in for some ground war about the Transformers. Like, in a year, no one will remember it, and it'll be pointless. So why waste the energy now?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, it's not like a showgirls film that we're going to be debating the legendary badness of. So that's all I'm saying. It's not Buffy the Vampire Slayer bad.
Okay, you got a break.
Back after this. Find out. Oh, hello. I'm going to eat this whole box of Crustios this weekend.
I know you are. It was very noble of you to offer them to me, but I know that you beat me and run with them.
I couldn't decide whether I wanted you to take them or not. Oh, sweet Crustios. Sweet nectar. All right. Hey, so we're going to next see a radio correspondent, Steve Castamon, Jim Rubin, Dick Giuliano today, as well as Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice. Tomorrow, we'll be there. You should be there, too. Tomorrow night, my friends, at Outlaws Music Hall tomorrow night for 7707. Giveaways every 7 minutes. Look for the red shirts. That's our street team. They'll be there. And, of course, Vanilla Ice. Sarah and I will be there as well.
I think I'm going to wear a dress.
Really?
I think so. I don't want to wear the dumpy...
For Mr. Ice?
AM970 shirt again. Yeah, I've got to look good.
I'll wear the dumpy shirt.
Okay.
Also wearing the dumpy shirt will be Scotty J tomorrow. I'll buy him many drinks, won't you please? Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. And thanks also to Scott Dowley from FilmFeverRadio.com. Like us next with Flash Friday. Don and Mike at 7 tomorrow. Car and Driver Radio 6 to 9. Dennis Pitzenbarger with Miles Around featuring Scotty J tomorrow. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll see you tomorrow night at Outlaws Music Hall 7707. Yeah. We'll see you there tomorrow night. Have a good, safe weekend. See you Monday. Don't let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. Do try to help the retarded. Watch out for snakes. Bye.
Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and give it.